you people. It is the Starship, Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Feeling better today, Ro, at all?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's all fine.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
I mean, let's face it. I mean, what? Why would I have dreams that just sound like this? Why would I have dreams like that? Do I have dreams like that? Yes.
You were able to
sleep?
I
might have, too.
Wow, that's impressive. Apparently, at my ceiling for the past
Kevin
two
looks
nights.
All puffy faced and kind of tired today.
Miserable.
I'm kind of tired too.
You know, there is a point at which we're going to have to give up on this. So I watched the, well, we were all watching the national championship game last night because
we were all
texting back and forth to each other. And, you know, listen, you know, football goes on. And it's so funny because even though Clemson had this amazing team this year, they have a kicker who likes to hit the upright too. I mean, it's the damnedest thing. And then, and Kevin, of course, made the best observation about that.
Yes.
Which was, he would be the top draft pick of the Chicago Bears this year.
They're going to trade up for him.
Let's look at this guy. Take a good look at him, huh?
Trade all your picks up into the first round and get Hugel from Clemson, the guy who hits the post. I want him on the team.
Has he done it before? That was my... Oh.
I don't know. But on that stage, the day after,
yeah,
one of the most
not
miserable days of our lives, and we got to see this guy doink it. You kidding me? I was at a bar, and the entire bar is just screaming, Parky! Damn you, Parky!
It's the Parky effect.
It's the Parky effect.
It's contagious.
PTSD situation.
Yeah.
Oh, gee.
Don't hit the post. Don't hit the post.
And they, but you know what? It was okay because they have a guy, a quarterback at Clemson, who looks like a Game of Thrones character.
Totally.
And he would be the number one draft pick if he was eligible for the draft as a true freshman. The guy's unbelievable.
He's 19 years old, playing football in high school last year. He set some record for, you know, like it was an average of 5 billion yards per game. It was like it's the craziest. And this guy, and he's got the long flowing hair and
sunshine.
He looks like a character in a video game.
He totally
doesn't
does.
Look real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Long blonde hair.
I don't think he lost in high school. And then they bring this guy in and he wins a national title against who? Alabama. You may have heard of him.
He hasn't lost. Think about this for a second. He's never lost,
right?
As an organized football player. I mean, I don't know about Pee Wee, but for high school all the way through college,
right.
He has. You know, they did not lose a game.
Yeah.
They're the
first 15-0 team in modern football.
Era. Yeah,
he looks like he's never lost. He looks like the happiest human on the planet.
Well, yeah,
yeah, that's a good life. Clemson quarterback. You're 19.
So I started. I didn't know who he was, so I started Googling him last night.
Uh huh.
And the first thing that comes up when you click in his name, when you type in his name. Is his name plus girlfriend?
Yeah, everyone was on the Twitters about the girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not quite sure why, but they are.
Yeah, right. You're not quite sure why.
I don't know. I'm just saying. It. I mean, it's you know. I mean,
when you're not, you know,
that's your
not,
high school girlfriend.
That's
I get
not
it.
Last.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is that you know when the guys this guy's going to be one of the biggest stars in first of all college football. He's got to play for two more years, right?
Before he's eligible for the draft. 3 years removed from high school.
Right, so he's going to have to do that unless he wants to go play in Canada or something like that.
He has Yeezys, too.
He's got, well, I, you know, that's the other thing that we're going to have to look out for. Because the entire world is going to try to be all over this young kid and try to create a, you know, like a, it, I mean, so much is going to come after him now in terms of, you know, the entertainment world. And you know, Booby darling, sweetheart, listen, I have a deal for you. And the
head and shoulders with the flow.
The NCAA is going to be looking at all of that. It's going to be kind of impossible. And he's got a movie star name, too. Trevor Lawless. What's his name?
Trevor Lawrence.
Lawrence.
Yeah. Well, what can you do as a college player? Can you take endorsements outside at all?
Nothing. Can't do anything.
I mean, nothing.
So they just got to sit
and wait. I mean, there are players who get like in trouble for signing helmets and they get auctioned off and somehow get connected to it. I mean,
Ohio State coach got fired because he knew the players were signing jerseys.
Right? Didn't somebody get a free tattoo or something?
Well, there was one case where an Ohio State running back actually, after he left Ohio State and went to the pros, and then got cut from the pros, he came back and he took a car off the car lot that was giving him a free car illegally in Columbus, Ohio. And then what did they do? Boop! They arrested him for stealing the car.
Not playing football anymore. You can't do that, buddy.
Right? And it's like, hey, you always let me take the car.
Yeah, not anymore.
Trevor's been dating Marissa for 2 years.
I know. It's a high school girlfriend.
OMG.
Did they show cutaways of her last night? I didn't see
that. Yes, like the whole game.
Okay, because I was sort of half watching, but I did notice on social media everyone was showing the pictures of
Yeah, but at first I'm like, I don't know, is that his sister? She barely looks like she's even 18.
She might not be.
Well, how old is he? He's
19.
So she could be 17.
She could be 17, right? I mean, I don't know. And then that's, but it's all, but you know, he's one of these guys, right? That it's all about his religious convictions.
Yeah, he's a God guy.
Yeah, God squad. And so he's and so as that, you know, now there's going to be the questions because there's so much attention. People are going to be like, hey, is he dating anybody? What is, you know, what's going to happen to that? Does he want to be the next Bachelor? Can he go do that? I mean, it's like the guy stepped onto the national stage in a way. Obviously, at Clemson and in the ACC, they knew about him, and the SEC, you know, and the college football people knew about him. But he steps out onto this stage last night, and the whole world is going to be on this guy. So
he'll win the Heisman next year.
Gosh, yeah, that's exciting.
Well, we'll see. As long as he doesn't, you know, get it. Like we said, just stay healthy. That's all. Stay healthy.
Yeah, so the kicker, real deal, though.
And the kicker is going to be looked at by the Bears. Like that.
Yeah. I would take any kicker at this point.
Yeah.
But we're going to have, coming up on the program, I should mention this. We're going to have Todd Ashman. He's the president of Goose Island. They're the ones doing this promotion this weekend where if you can go kick a 43-yard field goal.
This is great.
They're setting this up. They're in the West Loop, right? And they've got like their facility there. They're setting up a field goal, the actual goal itself, you know. And the whole deal, and they're going to set you out 43 yards away, and you're going to have to land it. You land it, you get beer for the next year.
Hey, Papa!
Is that guy going to be there doing play-by-play?
I hope so.
We should go do it as a team. Show outing.
Squad goals.
Really hard to do. I mean, what do you think you could kick?
I'm afraid I'd pull a hamstring.
I know. I
try
too.
It, though. Well, I always kind of wanted to be a field goal kicker. I thought that would be the coolest job because it was like you could play football and not do all the running.
And not get really hurt.
Look at Janikowski from the Seahawks. He's got a beer belly.
Not really get a concussion.
I want to be the guy that holds the ball for the kicker.
I had a lot of pressure on that for you.
That's tough.
That's an underrated spot right
there.
That's
tough right there.
Field.
I know. I could
do it. You got to catch it, put it down, and make sure the laces are on.
Yeah.
Can you do all that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Hands,
your tiny hands.
They're not going to get in the way.
Yeah. It's football, true. NFL-sized football might break your hands.
All right. Anyway, nice try. But let's see what we can do.
Dreams. Dreams.
Yeah. Again, it's good to have a dream. It's good to have goals. All right. That is now Stop Down. Ben Bradley's going to join us. Brett Baer is going to join us coming up this hour as well. He's going to get us ready for the president tonight. He's going to be in the Oval Office. And sitting at the desk, and this is a moment where when a president sits down, it's like an act of war, generally, right? It's either the beginning of the war, end of a war, some major, major, major thing, or a resignation. We don't expect any of those things. He's going to ask for this wall. He wants to declare a national emergency at the border to get his wall, even though the border is exactly the same as it has been for years and years and years and years and years.
True.
There's fewer people coming across. Than there have been. But that's okay. But he, you know, this is his signature promise to build the wall, to have Mexico pay for it. And he says somehow, they're paying for it through this USMCA, which hasn't been passed by Congress yet. That's a whole other deal. And they're not. But that's the least of the misrepresentations that we're going to have to deal with here. So Brett is going to come on and try to explain to us what we're going to hear tonight. And also, there was another story out of Washington that was worth mentioning. Paul Manafort's lawyers forgot to redact the part of a submitted legal document that shows that the Mueller team has him talking to the Russians about the 2016 campaign.
Yikes.
Oops.
Oops.
Oh, you know what? You know what that is? That's what that is.
Doink.
Let's check in right now. Cam, tell us what's coming up in the news.
Roe, a new class of Illinois lawmakers will be sworn in tomorrow.
And Violetta, this is very timely. Violetta's sponsor is TSA PreCheck.
Hey, Papa!
Is there more to that?
That's it.
Okay.
And then there's this. Watch for Chicago's very own Stories with Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlan. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
And Bradley joins us from the WGN-TV newsroom. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, we're just getting word that Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox is going to be addressing the media in the 4 o'clock hour, and she's going to be talking about the investigations that have occurred over the years into the conduct of R. Kelly. Of course, that's been back in the news after this 6-part series on Lifetime, in which some of his accusers have been speaking out. TMZ is reporting that officials in Georgia are reactivating their investigation. We don't know what the announcement will be here in Illinois, but of course, a lot of R. Kelly's troubles and the first accusations against him originated right here in Cook County. So that's coming up.
They went to Cook County Court.
Yep.
And he went to trial.
Right.
Right. Against a woman that he was accused of, doing unspeakable things to.
An underage woman, allegedly. Right. Right?
In his residence in Chicago. And then and there was a video of it. And then when brought into court, said, well, that's not me.
Right. And there were all sorts of accusations and countercharges about why she may or may not have cooperated with the investigation, why her family may or may not have cooperated with the investigation. But this has just continued to haunt R. Kelly now for decades.
It has. And you know, I remember covering that at the time, and it seemed as if a lot of people were talking about people who had apartments, people had cars, didn't have cars before, and a lot of things were happening, and suddenly people weren't talking anymore. But then you just look at the pattern now of a number of women coming forward with similar stories, and certainly that Lifetime special put a lot of the pieces together.
Certainly. So we're covering that for you. Also, Governor Bruce Rauner's swan song in Springfield. He had a long session with reporters today in which I guess it's fair to say he offered a couple of parting shots.
At whom?
Well,
Mike Madigan.
Which one of us?
One guess.
Mike Madigan.
Really?
No.
Do those two not like each other?
Yeah, I think his Madigan quote was a reporter had asked him for his reaction to the charges against Alderman Ed Burke, who, of course, is accused of using the leverage he has as an alderman to elicit business for his private law firm. Of course, Mike Madigan, the House Speaker, also has a private law firm that he has generated millions of dollars in revenue from people over the years. So Rauner called the accusations against Burke appalling and then went on to say, and I quote here, there are others that do the same and worst. They haven't been indicted yet. I hope they are.
Ooh.
Gonna miss you, Mike.
Yeah.
So long.
Right.
Okay, we just wish. I don't know what, indictments are good for us. They're good for business. So we'll just have to see what happens here.
Yeah.
Also, you know what? I have a guess here. Can I make a guess?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That as wacky as Washington is going to be,
yeah,
I believe Chicago will be as or more in 2019.
You know, I think that's a good observation because we have a power vacuum here that has not existed before. I mean, even when Daley left, right, that was a seismic shift. But boy, did Rahm Emanuel quickly fill that hole, that void, and then re-exerted power in a very different way, but equally controlling. He actually had a more responsive city council, more of a rubber stamp than even Mayor Daley enjoyed. Yeah. And he kept Ed Burke in that spot, which kept things status quo.
Because there was a whole movement at that time. Ed Burke runs his own government within the government. The Finance Committee.
Mm-hmm, no question.
Was his own deal. He had his own police. He had his own. There was no oversight. There was no Inspector General oversight.
He had a $100 million workman's compensation fund that he controlled that he was not shy about saying he wanted no outside investigation. He didn't even want the city's Inspector General to be able to take a look at what he was doing with that.
So what was going on there and I think that was the way that the mayor was able to, when Rahm Emanuel became mayor, that was the only way that he was going to be able to keep the city business moving forward, the real business. I mean, the legitimate business of the city moving forward, because if you blew up that whole thing, that would have created another hole that, you know, of where money was just going out.
Yeah, you know,
and now that's going to happen.
Rahm did not want to create an enemy out of Burke when he came in. He knew he could take that on, but that would essentially, get him stuck. It'd be a quagmire, right? You'd go against the guy who controls whether or not any piece of legislation gets through the city council, is even heard on the city council. And Rahm made a very careful choice not to fight that fight, because he was asked about it when he was first running in 2011, and he kind of danced around it a little bit. And in the end, he kept Burke in that finance committee post.
All right. Leave it there.
All right.
I don't even know how to leave it there, but we're gonna try. All right.
More to come.
Yeah. Oh, you think? Oh,
hello.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, watch this space.
I like that one.
Stay tuned.
I've never heard that
coming
one before.
Coming in 2019.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Appreciate it. All right. We will talk to Ben, and you will see him tonight at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10 on the WGN TV News for all of their newscasts. Right now, Kim Gordon standing by. She's got the WGN Radio News.
How can the American people trust the president when he says this is a crisis, when he says things over and over again that aren't true?
Well, look, the American people aren't as concerned about the political debate as they are concerned about what's really happening at the border, and that's what the president's been focusing on.
This is credibility.
Well,
the White House said nearly 4,000 terrorists coming to our country.
John,
that's not true.
John, nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists were apprehended attempting to come into the United States through various means in the last year.
Overwhelmingly at airports, not at the border.
All right. Okay. It's going to be quite a performance this evening. Mm-hmm. The president going to the Oval Office, a national primetime address to the nation at 8 o'clock Chicago time. And Brett Baer joins us from the Fox News Channel. He's just about to step into his own program here. Special report
coming
up in about an hour. And what do you expect to hear from the president tonight? What should we expect?
Hey, guys. Well, I'll tell you this. I had lunch over at the White House today with several other broadcasters and the president and the vice president, and it was an off-the-record lunch. I can tell you officially on the record that he said it was nice having lunch with you. but I can give you a sense of the thinking inside the White House, and that is that they feel on the issues that they are in a good place. They believe that most people get that the border is a different situation than it was in years past, and that numbers and stats have gone up. They think that for all the focus on, you know, the three senators, Republicans, who may be getting wobbly knees about the shutdown, that there are Democrats, the White House believes, who think that, you know, a border security, whatever you want to call it, steel barrier, combination of security measures, is very doable, because all of them voted for a lot more than $5 billion in multiple bills in previous years. Mm-hmm. So my point is that the sense is that they are entrenched, the White House is, on their points of view. And Democrats clearly are entrenched, saying they're not going to give the president this wall. So how does it come to an end? It's not going to be tonight. I can tell you that.
Well, let's talk about wall versus whatever else, border security. If they just called this a $5 billion border security package, or a $3 billion border security package that included all of the above.
Right.
Are we really shutting down the government here for going on 3 weeks, or, you know, we're going to head into one of the longest ones ever, and now you got all kinds of trouble having at TSA and other places that are deeply affected by this. As we continue on, is this really just a matter of the language we're using as opposed to where the money is going to go?
I agree with you. I think that if Congress, both sides, said, here is $3.5 billion or $4 billion to the CPB, the patrol officers, mm-hmm. and to the folks along the border, and you determine what the best way is to provide better border security. It would be a combination of things. It would be increased staff. It would be technology. And
some new wall.
Some
new, but not all the way across. And,
right, not all the way across. And so you just say, this is the lump sum. The experts along the border determine it. I do think that that's a potential way that this comes to an end.
there is the big question about whether or not he'll call it some sort of an emergency declaration, and then trying to shift funds from defense dollars for these kinds of purposes. Mm-hmm. And there are Republicans who are saying that they're not necessarily on board with that. But the president, as we know, does enjoy the drama of these moments. Do you think he will make some sort of emergency declaration tonight?
I don't think so tonight, but I think it's in his wheelhouse. You know, it may be something that is kind of the backup plan if they don't, you know, get negotiate a deal, that's the exit ramp, is declare a national emergency. It's fought in courts. It is an issue heading into 2020. I mean, the sense that I got from today was that, you know, that this White House is not upset about the possibility of having a veto overridden in Congress on this issue. That's how entrenched they are.
But we're playing with, here's the thing that I think a lot of Americans, I know I'm speaking for myself, but I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of us stop and go, the what's being played with here is essential things that we need to keep us safe. And what the president is playing with here, like the basically doing a War Powers Act, essentially, is what this would be, to get him to, you know, declare a national emergency, and that would activate military and other kinds of things at the wall. For a political statement, that is overkill. And
well,
I don't get it.
President Obama declared national emergencies several times. He declared a national emergency when the oil, the BP situation in the Gulf. He declared a national emergency when there was property being taken along the border. He declared several of them that we just didn't cover this way. I think that there will be a big fight over this if he does do it. But it's just important to remember that there have been national emergencies declared
right
by presidents in the past.
Okay, the question is,
12 of them.
To increase activity in an exigent circumstance, right? So BP is an excellent example of that. You needed Coast Guard, Navy, and all the rest.
National emergency for the H1N1 influenza pandemic.
Things like that, right?
The
question is the border so much different now? I mean, do we literally have that thousands of armed people or tens of thousands of unarmed people trying to get across in places that they weren't trying to get across in the last year or two? Is it really that different?
What they've seen increase, according to the stats from the Border Patrol, is the number of families that have come across. In just the past few weeks, it has increased dramatically, 31,000 or something, that has shot up. And in part of that is because the immigration policy, the laws that we have, and the asylum stuff. And all of this in a big picture could be fixed by Congress. I mean, it's not impossible to imagine that Democrats and Republicans could get their head around this. But have they seen an increase? Yes. Did they see some violence along the San Diego fence on New Year's Eve? Yes. Has there been, you know, stuff that has it been an increase from years past? Yes. And so that's why they call it a crisis. You know, Democrats say there's no crisis and we can handle it. But the question is what the middle of the country believes. And the president's going to make his effort to explain it to him tonight.
I saw you on the Fox News Channel right after that lunch. You had the off-the-record lunch with the president. You mentioned that you believe that he'll try to humanize this crisis and show the human cost at the border, feeling that the public support will grow for the border wall after the speech, and that maybe what is the hope there that they pick up a few Democrats who would start coming over to their side? What would you sway the public?
I mean, listen, you've got the Joe Manchins of the world already saying that they need to find a solution on border security. You have others in the House and the Senate, but their problem is they could lose Republicans as this border as the government shutdown continues. And if that starts to break, the real question is how long he holds on. Does he pass some of the spending bills to get some of the government back while he continues to negotiate? I don't know. All I know is I came away from the White House today thinking, that they are not backing down, at least not anytime soon.
The White House not backing down. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk in the last couple of days about, even on Fox News Channel, or with Chris Wallace representing Fox News, mm-hmm. talking to Sarah Sanders about the White House misrepresenting a number of facts around this. You've had Mike Pence out there getting beat up, and almost every interview he's doing, you had
Kellyanne
Sarah Sanders getting beat up because they're saying things that are provably inaccurate. And they're conflating.
I mean, it was specifically one about the 4,000 names tied to terrorist watch lists that have come in, but they left out the fact that most of those, almost all of them, came in through airports.
Right, 12
as opposed to through the southern border.
Right,
12. I mean, it ends up being about 12 mm-hmm. in 2018.
Yeah.
Came in through the southern border.
Far more on the northern border, you know, which then begs the question of, do you really want to, you know, start going through and figuring that out? And you know, we're going to build a wall across across Niagara Falls. I don't know. Can we do that? I don't even know if that's possible. But the point is,
very special.
The point is that we have a problem here with veracity, right? I mean, truth is always in politics, it's the first casualty of a political campaign. But in terms of governance, we do, as Americans, I go back to this, as Americans, we do want a government that is going to be honest to us. It's one thing to campaign on something and do and conflate and exaggerate. It's a whole other thing to actually release information in the guise of policy that is knowingly inaccurate.
100% agree with that. And Kellyanne Conway has been doing cleanup on aisle 9 today, mm-hmm. saying that was a misstatement that shouldn't have been out there. The problem was it was used numerous times, and it was called and fact-checked real-time with Chris Wallace, my colleague on Fox News Sunday. And we pointed that out on the show as well. I think that the speech tonight from the White House will be fact-checked numerous times before, you know, it comes out. We've seen this kind of stuff before in previous big speeches, that there are facts that are questionable. For example, the yellow cake in the State of the Union address from George W. Bush. A lot of questions about, you know, the veracity of that intelligence. This is kind of cut and dry. So
right.
I think that Democrats are hopping on that and saying, how can we trust all of this? The bottom line is how it plays at home. And is this issue important? In the election and the midterms, it didn't seem to move suburban voters. And that's why the Democrats won the House in big numbers. But the White House feels that they believe that this issue is common sense and that they should be able to get a deal.
All right. Brett Baer, mm-hmm. he is of the Fox News Channel, and in 1 hour, he is going to sit down at that desk and try to forget everything that just happened here in these last 10 minutes. I think that's exactly what will occur. All right, Brett, thank you, my friend.
Good
appreciate it.
You,
talk to you. All right, let's talk right now with Kim Gordon in the WGN Radio Newsroom. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Roe, Governor Rauner and Mike Madigan bidding each other a not-so-fond farewell.
Yes. Tough to be Cody Parkey these days, but if you look at his Instagram, he's got a lot going on in his life. Recently married, he's got a dog that still loves him. There's a lot, you know, he's got love in his life. Happy about that.
If that dog knew exactly what happened, the dog would not love him.
He actually said
he's
something.
He's a millionaire.
He's a multimillionaire. He seems like he's got a great new wife. Just went to Rome.
Probably going to lose his job soon.
Hopefully, you know how dogs don't like to watch television? You know, you try to get them to watch television. And
they're not interested.
They're like, I don't know what's going on there. I'm not really interested. I don't smell it, so I can't really figure it out. Well, I would point out that if his dog could watch television and knew that his puppy chow was based on how much money Cody was making and Cody had to keep his job, there would have been a lot of this.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I wonder if he was watching when the ball hit the post.
He might have paid attention to that. Your sounds get their attention. He didn't like it.
His Instagram, you know, message about himself is just kicking it towards the post.
He seems like he's got one of those tiny little...
No, it's not that tiny.
No, it's like a
little,
drooling
like
one.
Like one of those little...
It looks like a lab mix of some
toy
sort.
Toy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Like a drooling one? What does that mean, a drooling one?
Oh, never mind. It's not a drooling one. You know the ones with the frumpy faces?
Oh, yeah, the one with the frumpy face, yeah.
Like a boxer?
Yeah,
bulldog?
Yeah, yeah. A drooling one.
We're all trying to translate.
It's always drooling.
Yeah.
It's always drooling.
They're not always drooling. Boxers aren't always. I had a boxer. She barely drooled. Everyone's a drooler. Not much
people
of a drooler.
Who have those dogs say they never drool, and then you go to somebody's house, and then you look on the on your pants, and there's drool like all over you.
Well,
my dog never drools.
They shake their. Actually, if you look at the walls, you see when they shake their head.
Right. The dog's totally fine. Doesn't drool
she
anywhere.
She was great. I never had a problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Did other people think you had a problem?
No.
Sometimes you don't know.
She was amazing.
You go to the house and the dog's got the ball and it like drops it on your lap.
Ooh,
and
you're like, oh, it's all slobbery, slimy. Like,
there's a lot of slobberiness.
And the owner's like, oh my God, it's so cute. Look at it. What's
up? Pick it up. Throw it.
Throw it. That ball's been outside for 7 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's always the owner.
The owner doesn't seem to care. Isn't that weird? It's kind of like changing your kid's diaper, right? No one else wants to do it.
She was big enough to wrestle with, which she loved doing it. It was fun. And then, you know, the most important thing is you grab them by the mouth, essentially. Mm-hmm. I would put my hand in her mouth and wrestle her from her bottom jaw.
Ew.
And she loved it. And she was, and, you know, I think I always was afraid I wasn't giving her enough water because she seemed dry.
So not slobbery enough.
What was her name?
I don't want to talk about it.
Very sensitive subject, yeah.
Wow.
Kevin.
Her name was Gibson.
Oh, I love Gibson.
Gibson?
Yeah.
From Gibson's?
Well, sort of. Actually, the breeders' names were Gibson.
Oh.
And so, but Gibson was a name that was already sort of in my... I told the people at Gibson's that my I'd name my dog after them. And they ate for free for a year.
That helps. Yeah.
All right, we got to go. I got to tell you about this. I got to tell you that Kim Gordon has got the WGN News coming your way from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. Pro Concho, then Ed Avalontis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN. All right, we've been putting people on this week and next week who want to be mayor of the city of Chicago because, let's face it, we're about a month, 7 weeks away, I think, from the from election. 7 weeks from today?
Seven
weeks from today, Lori Lightfoot, who wants to be the mayor of this city of Chicago for reasons, again, that elude me. But we will talk to her about that. I'm sure she can explain it. All right. First of all, your thoughts, Lori, on the news keeps changing every day here in terms of, you know, what's happening with Ed Burke. The picture that is being revealed is that Ed Burke was sort of the silent mayor of Chicago. He was running a $100 million budget himself, you know, more than that, actually, total budget, finance committee. But $100 million, workman's comp fund of some sort. Where was that money going? Was it being always properly used? He had his own police officers. He had city police cars that were used for his disposal. I mean, and no one wanted to do anything about it. Nobody wanted to call him on it. Rahm Emanuel didn't want to call him on it because he had to go work with him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Ed Burke's going to be there if you become mayor?
Look, it's going to be obviously up to the voters of his ward to decide whether or not he gets over the threshold victorious in the election. But I can tell you, and I've been very upfront about this for a long time, Ed Burke, no one should be able to amass that kind of unchecked power. The fact that he was able to run a $100 million workers' compensation program with no budget limit, with no transparency, is absolutely absurd. That's a basic HR function that should have been in the executive branch. You know, frankly, Bill Daley cut the deal that made Ed Burke finance chair, and over time, he accumulated all
Bill
of
this. Daley did?
Bill Daley.
How did Bill Daley do that?
Ed Burke was making noises that he was going to run against Rich Daley in 1989. Bill Daley was the campaign chairman for Rich Daley. He cut the deal with Burke to take him off of the ballot, and the quid pro quo there was to put him in charge of the finance committee. But fundamentally, this issue that now is erupting and people are scrambling and trying to present themselves as more progressive and reform-minded when they never were, it speaks to a broken political system. We've got different factions of that system that are running, that are vying for the status quo. But now that the light has been exposed on what, frankly, people all over the city who followed politics know has been going on for decades, they're now finally trying to distance himself. But keep in mind, when the FBI executed the search warrants on his ward office and his city office, most of the candidates in this race for mayor remained silent. I was one of the few that spoke up.
I want to ask you about that, Lily, because you were also one of the first to say those who got into this race after Mayor Emanuel announced that he wasn't running should get out, because you felt as if, why weren't you here before? And some of those names have resurfaced as those with ties to Alderman Burke. Do you feel it's impossible to have the ties of the political power structure of the city and govern well for or speak for the people city?
I think the question is, where have you been? A lot of those people, whether it's Tony Preckwinkle, Bill Daley, Gary Chico, Susana Mendoza, when Rahm Emanuel was still running, they were silent. They did not stand up. They did not articulate a critique of where the city was, and they certainly didn't take issue with the way in which he was running the city and articulate a vision for the future. So the fact that they jumped in after Goliath was slayed and then suddenly found this political courage, I think, frankly, the farsity of their actions is really being revealed the more we start unraveling the various threads related to Ed Burke.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the question really then is, who's gonna take over running all of that stuff? I mean, obviously we want to put it in mm-hmm. capable hands yep. here. And if Ed Burke, you know, doesn't return to city council, if, you know, there's some sort of legal way that he doesn't return, I mean, my guess is he will still be elected in February. I'm just gonna, you know, just going to guess that.
Look, the guy's got $12 million. FBI seizes, goes in and executes search warrants, and 2,000 people show up days later to kiss the ring at his annual fundraiser. So you can't count him out.
Right? No, I'm pretty sure he's going to stay as an alderman. But the question is, will he be able to serve out his term, and will he be, you know, is he going to actually be indicted? When will the trial happen? You know, this takes a long time in the federal system, right? So this, and we'll see, does he still want to do all that? Now, in the meantime, you know, he's lost his car. He's no longer finance chairman. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to, you know, whatever is going to happen.
He might have to give up his office. His name's been blacked out on the door. To his, you know, finance chair office.
Yeah, the finance chair office. But he'll get an aldermanic cubicle back if he wants that. What about that $100 million, though? Mm-hmm. Where does that go?
Look, I'm very concerned about it. I mean, the thing that has to happen, and now finally Rahm Emanuel has called for it, there's got to be a top-to-bottom audit. You got to look under every rock, every file, every corner. I mean, one of the things, for example, that the FBI found out when they went back the second time to Burke's office is he's got his own email server. So we don't know a lot about how that money has been spent. We don't know the lawyers that have been hired. We don't know the doctors. We don't know whether and how they're making their decision making about workers' comp. Did Ed Burke, you know, shudder to think, require certain homage be paid to him in order to be in that money game with workers' comp? We don't know anything about it because there literally has been zero transparency. So one of the most important things now is, as Rahm Emanuel needs to get that audit up and running and then be transparent about it.
I'm going to ask you this question then. Lori Lightfoot, you want to be mayor of the city of Chicago. All right, let's say that the feds have now cracked the finance committee and this what some people are calling a slush fund, right, of $100 million. Mm-hmm. What's next? What would you do? And let's assume that egg is cracked. What's the next egg to crack there? And what egg would you want to crack if you became mayor?
Well, I would want to bring that back into the executive function. I'd want to put an HR professional who has experience in workers' comp. Some people said, well, give it to the law department. No, give it to somebody who actually has the expertise and the bandwidth to be able to run that program. Do a top-to-bottom audit. See what the audit finds. But meanwhile, make sure that there are transparent rules of engagement for people who want to get or are applying for workers' comp, because obviously there's legitimate reasons why people need workers' compensation.
But is there another program in city government? Is there another agency that needs to crack?
Well, I mean, yes, where do we begin?
Just give me one.
Where I'd start is we don't have a risk management function in the city. That means we don't have somebody who looks out for waste, fraud, and abuse at every city agency. And that's, frankly, one of the reasons why, you know, we have...
But we did, actually, for a while, but then they moved... every one of those functions got... Like, the oversight of the city council was... basically stopped.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a different thing. I'm talking about from a financial standpoint, right? You're talking about the city council's inspector general. Right. Now that function is partly with Joe Ferguson. I'm talking about somebody from a fiscal standpoint who's looking at how money is spent, whether or not there's efficiencies that we can be gained. We're almost in $9 billion budget a year just in the city itself, and that doesn't, of course, count the sister agencies. No one's job is it to look at where are we seeing constant risk, how do we mitigate it, and what do we put controls in place to make sure that we're not, frankly.
Is that an individual or a company has to do that, or a law firm?
Well, it's a function. It's an individual who's responsible, but you've got to have a unit of people that are basically auditors that are responsible for making sure that we identify and mitigate risk. Nothing like that exists.
Should that be an elected official, or should that be an appointed official, and by whom?
It should be an appointed official, I think, by the mayor. It should be
with the city council signing
off. Of course, with city council signing off, they should be issuing regular audit reports. But somebody has to be focused on making sure that we're not basically lighting taxpayer dollars on fire.
I think a lot of us have scratched our heads in the journalism community and general citizens about people in public office who have businesses that seem to profit from their public lives, and tax appeals is one of them. And we know Alderman Edberg is one of those people. But today I saw you have a new pledge for the People First, and you said that aldermen really should have no outside jobs. Is that the way to go? You really just can't have any other business at all, no matter what it is?
Well, what I said is that you can't have an outside job that conflicts with your primary responsibility, which is to serve the public. When you've got somebody who has a tax appeals of business that really focuses on lowering what the property assessed values is, that's money that's coming out of the taxpayers' available resources. When you've got somebody who is a lobbyist who's taking on clients whose interests are contrary to that of the city or the public, that's a problem. We have this kind of unchecked, whatever you want to do is fine with us system that clearly is not serving the public interest well. So what I'm saying is, look, some people are going to need to have a secondary employment, even as aldermen, but that's fine. But you can't do it and compromise your integrity as a public servant at the same time.
I think that's really the issue here, is that the argument has been made for years and years and years. Like, this is a part-time job, right? The people have other things. You've had many of them lawyers, right? And many of them having either their own tax appeals or personal injury, right? I mean, other things that could technically be contrary, because if you are going to bring in employees, you know, that may be the city of Chicago employees, and then you know, you're representing them for a workman's comp, or representing them for some, you know, whatever else it is, I think you automatically have a conflict of interest. So, do you think that there is, if you were to become mayor? Obviously, that would be something you would be pushing for. Do you think you get that past the city council?
Well, I mean, part of the reason that we put this People's Pledge out there and let people know that regardless of what your policy differences are, regardless of where you are located in the city, that a basic compact with the public has to be that you're going to serve the public first. You're going to put people first. So I think that building that momentum, and we had great enthusiasm around this pledge, and lots of people, frankly, calling us and saying, hey, where do I sign up, is really kind of pricking the consciousness of the public and letting them know that there actually is a path forward, that you don't have to just say, well, what can we do? This is Chicago. This has been going on for a year. No, we can make a change if we speak our values through who we elect and the issues that we articulate. So I'm hopeful, frankly, that this momentum continues to build in a positive way, so that no matter what happens in the election, we're going to have different people in the city council. We're clearly going to have a different mayor, and of course I hope that's me. But the ability to just say, well, that was a phase, that was a moment, will be impossible.
You say you're the true independent, the true reform candidate in this race, and I guess I think people love the sound of that. But when we see people like Governor Rauner come forward and say, I'm going to buck the system, I'm going to fight Mike Madigan and others, and I'm going to, you know, change things, and you saw he was fairly unsuccessful at that, and you see this also with even Mayor Emanuel. He didn't strip Ed Burke of some of these powers that seem fairly obvious to most of us. It's a difficult thing to pull off.
I disagree with that, right? And look, there's going to be PhD programs written around the failings of Bruce Rauner and what he could have done differently over the last 4 years, and frankly, his naivete about how to work push for things that are important, but also compromise. That's the essence of our democratic system. And
yeah, you might want to tell Washington that too. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, believe me, absolutely. But and frankly, Rahm just did a cold political calculus that he didn't want to take on Ahmed Burke, and it wasn't worth the fight. But if you don't really care about putting people first, if you don't care about transparency, I just can't imagine.
Well, isn't it also prioritizing? I think to Anna's question, isn't it about prioritizing? I mean, if Rahm Emanuel came in and said he's going to blow up Ed Burke along with everything else, he blows a gigantic hole in the side of the city government, right? So the question is, whether we like it or not, Ed Burke had sewn up an entire corner of Chicago, literally a corner of Chicago.
He had, because people were complicit and silent. It is just recklessly irresponsible to let one person have control over $100 million a year. There's no way that you can put lipstick on that pig.
No, you just can't. We knew about it. I mean, everybody knew about that. Now, and the question when the feds first kicked in the door a couple weeks ago, everybody goes, "Oh, that's about workman's comp." It was like everybody knew that.
Question was, how could he be so sloppy? Not, "Oh my gosh, this is a shocker."
Yeah, right. It was like, I wonder if the feds are going to find anything, right? I mean, that's ultimately where we are here. And it is interesting to see. You have to wonder. These investigations don't necessarily self-generate, right?
Not public corruption cases. They do not.
Right. There are people who come forward, or people who, there's gravity to them, in which there's a slide down the hill of things that come to the attention of the U.S. Attorney's Office or the FBI or whomever it happens to be, and they have to finally take action. And you just wonder who was pushing them to do that. I don't know that we'll ever find that out, it's fascinating.
But what we do know is that this issue regarding the Burger King caper, I'll call it, right, that fell into their laps. They already had a wiretap up on Ed Burke's phones before the...
So why did they have a wiretap up? That's a great question, right?
So, yeah, I mean, there's been a number of subpoenas that have been issued over the years. Clearly, they've been looking at finance committee issues they issued in 2006, and I think more recently since then. Look, the money shot, right, is it's still the larger issue, probably revolves around workers' compensation and some stuff there. This thing fell into their lap, and so it was a nice little discreet incident that they could charge. But I think we're going to see much more because they had a wiretap up for a long time.
Okay, I'm out of time, but I'm going to ask you two questions, and just as quickly as you possibly can. Do aldermen have too much power, and should we have fewer than 50?
Yes and yes.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
You're the best. All right, you might
just
get my vote.
Politician who does that?
Just for that. All right, thank you very much, Lori.
Thanks,
Lightfoot.
Lori.
Appreciate you being with us. She wants to be mayor. Let's talk now to Kim Gordon, who wants to be the news person, and she is. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Rose Sears survives for at least one more day.
Traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
And then there's this. When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
Did Skilling say? Well, Skilling's off for a few days here.
We miss Skilling. Don't you miss him?
I do. I do.
He's on
vacation.
He deserves it.
I believe I was told in Alaska and Hawaii. I don't need
both.
Yes, that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to hear the stories.
Adventures to tell us about.
Yeah, good man, Tom Skilling.
Totally.
I mean, only he would go from Alaska to Hawaii.
He was doing Santa Tracker on Christmas Eve.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
It's a good thing he's not here, because you would be giving him a hard time right now, I think, Ro.
Why?
Just looking at the forecast and the little dip in temperatures that's going to happen. You know, that kind of thing
Listen, he provided today a very nice sunny respite. Yesterday, awful, awful, awful. And then the sunset was so beautiful yesterday and so beautiful today. These are cheap days. These are days that we're getting for free.
True.
Out in January, if you can steal a day that is not snowing, sleeting, icy, any day you can do that is a day, one day closer to spring.
The big win.
Yeah, big win. Big, unlike.
That was not a win.
Right now, Kim Gordon is standing by in the WGN newsroom, being brought to you by Penny Mustard Furnishings. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
Did we ever find out where John Elway and Vic Fangio went to dinner?
Hadn't heard.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. You guys don't know.
Big secret. See, of all the
people, those two have dinner without anybody knowing?
I'm telling you, they were. I guarantee they were not in the city. I bet you they went up North Bears by Vic's home.
Where are you going? Where are you going to go up north?
Well, he's a big Maria's Bakery fan in Highwood.
Oh, Highwood.
Oh,
that's sort of like Highwood. I don't know if you'd go there for that. But maybe he had him at his house. You never know.
He got a good French restaurant. Highwood's got great restaurants.
Oh yeah, so good up there. Yeah. Disproportionately so for the population. I mean, it's like amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what, it's interesting because it's actually denser than you think up there, because you've got the old Fort Sheridan that's tight with homes. You've got Highland Park. They're that's just
don't
to
they
their
have
south.
A
Well, it's right between Lake Forest and Highland Park too, yeah. So you got both.
Yeah, so there's people up there, and it turns out, I don't know if you're familiar with this, there's dough to support a nice restaurant up there. You put good food on the table, and you charge $30 a plate. People will pay it.
Show up.
Yeah,
turns out
a lot of cheddar up there.
Yeah, there's some cheddar.
I'm sure they ate well.
Yeah. There's fun bars and stuff up there too. Highwood is like Rosemont Junior. You know, there's a couple towns like throughout the Chicago area that where, you know, hey, we're gonna do it the way we do it. You hear me? Right?
Everyone's gonna get a little piece of it.
Right. We're gonna do this right. And so Rosemont has been forever, right? But Rosemont built high rises and, you know, serviced the airport and did all of that. But there are other towns, if I could just mention a few. That where you see a very, you know, pro business, they got a lot of businesses and the residents are all in on the deal. They like the idea that, you know, that their tax burden is going to be spread out amongst the businesses. And Highwood is one of them.
Is Glenview?
Glenview, because they have the Glen, that kind of became its own thing. Yeah, so Glenview. But the Glen is you know, self-contained, right?
It's like its own little community.
Right. There's a border. There's a wall.
Yeah,
wall, and there's tracks,
like,
and there's
right at the Boston Market.
Right, you can't get. No, it's across the
it's
tracks.
Farther west than
the,
that,
the
yeah.
tracks actually cut it off. Mm-hmm. You can't come across the tracks. I mean, they got a thing.
They know when you're not from the Glen.
Right,
great golf course.
Yeah, two, and they've got but I'll get it. You know what another one is? Elmwood Park. Watch Elmwood Park on the rise.
Really?
It's another one. Restaurants going up. Great. North Avenue's got great restaurants, but you also got you know, new stuff going in there. There's another one. It's got. I like guys like that. Then out down south, right? You know, Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are doing that. I mean, that's, you know, Frankfurt is basically like that town near Nashville. What is that? Isn't that Franklin?
Oh yeah, Franklin.
Franklin. Frankfurt is like Franklin, Tennessee. So
they have music venues there too.
They actually do. They got a couple restaurants with
Geneva and St. Charles. Our texter says, don't forget about them. Great restaurants, bars, the whole package.
Yeah.
So downtown Libertyville also gets a vote.
Libertyville.
Oh, downtown Libertyville!
I love
great.
Libertyville. It's so charming.
Mm-hmm.
That little German restaurant where you get in through the back parking lot. I don't know. It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
What are you, your grandmother all of a sudden? Oh, it's wonderful. I just really love it. And she did the thing where she took both of her hands and she went like, she waved away.
She never pushed them
wonderful.
Forward.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Pleasant evening.
So great. Has anybody seen my glasses?
On a nice Sunday afternoon.
Is there a draft in here?
I'm missing my cane.
You have a 4:30 reservation.
Right.
And the soup.
That German restaurant is just the best. Which one? Is that my granddaughter?
That
which one is that? I can't see. Oh, man.
We've got a lot to offer here.
Yes, we do.
For sure.
Every suburb's kind of got his. Listen, you know what? We just saw it in Palatine, right? Yep. Downtown Palatine's got stuff going on.
And one train stop over, downtown Arlington Heights. Yeah. That's a fun spot.
Yeah. They got a nice theater down there, too.
They do.
We should think about doing a show there. We got the whole Christmas show. Turns out the numbers came in at the end of the, you know, while we were off. The final totals for everything. And it was a gigantic hit. And we just got to thank everybody for taking part in that and the amount of toys that were raised for Toys for Tots.
Largest single collection spot.
Right.
For Toys
for
Tots.
Tots in the Chicago metropolitan area.
How about that?
Think about that.
Thank you to our listeners who gave. I mean, it was just incredible to see the trucks pull up with all the toys and just really awesome.
One of the largest collection spots for Toys for Tots in the nation outside of San Diego
I love that.
And Norfolk, Virginia. Now, think about that. for just a moment.
That's
so
beautiful.
I would just say, take that, rest of the United States of America.
Yeah.
All right.
Great night.
Great, great night.
Has anybody seen my dentures? Oh, man.
It was like my lovely Aunt Mary, who I just lost recently. She would take all the stuff on the table, you know, like the sugar packets and the little jams and the jellies
the
and stuff.
I
you
have so
do, you
many
do
little
that?
Honeys at home.
You do that. I can
picture
that.
Like, she's become like a grandmother before our very eyes.
What happened? 18 yesterday.
Well, you spend a lot of time with your gram. You love your gram.
Oh, my God.
You always talk about her.
Then I don't get the sense that she's like that at all.
Maybe when she's with her grandma.
You know what my grandma took from a restaurant once? We were at Chili's. You know how the queso dip comes in
the
skillet?
They got a great queso there, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
they do.
Got a little handle on the skillet.
Right.
We get in the car. She's like, hey, look what I got. I'm like, what?
She stole
the
cast iron queso thing?
What? No, not the, no, just that little handle to not burn yourself.
Oh.
Oh, the little cloth cover?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
what is she,
handy.
What is she going to do with that?
Put it on her tea kettle? I have no idea.
Tea kettle?
She's just a klepto sometimes.
Oh,
back to the village days.
You never know when you're going to need that.
Don't make sure she does not watch the president's speech tonight about closing down the borders. That's all I'm going to say. Don't let her watch that. She's not going to be
but
happy
it
about
her
it.
So much joy.
Yeah.
What am I going to tell her? No.
Chili's has enough of those.
They have to account for a couple people taking them.
Well, I have noticed, though, you know, like kids, it's the one thing, and I'm kind of dealing with this a little bit myself now, with, you know, you have aging parents. And, you know, you go out with them, and you just never know what's going to happen.
I know, so you just want to give them as much happiness as...
Wait, right, and food is a very important happiness for them, right? You want them to eat whatever they want.
Yeah.
But you just never know when you take them to a restaurant what they're going to say to the staff, right? Like, to the server.
You get more unfiltered as you get older,
right.
It turns
and
out.
They start a conversation with the server, and then they can't hear what the server's saying back to them, and then they get annoyed, and then the next thing you know, some crazy word comes out of their mouth. And they're like, I'm sorry, he did not mean that. He did not mean that.
And they always want to know the specials. They want every detail. What are the specials tonight? And then the waiter goes through all the specials, and then they can't hear, and then they got to repeat the specials. Nobody's going to get the special. We all know what we're getting.
It's true. No one does get the special.
Did you want a potato with that?
A what?
Well, does it come with a potato, or is it extra?
Do you want?
That's the question.
What kind of... I just said what kind of potatoes. Mashed, baked fries. Cottage fries.
Do you have onion soup here?
And then you start ordering for them, and then it shows up, and it's the wrong thing.
What did you order me?
I don't want this. And that's the thing. That's the first thing that there was. I don't want that. And they push it away. I don't want. And it's like they'll say it. And of course, because they can't hear, they're going to say it so the entire restaurant can hear that they don't want it.
The manager comes over. It's a big scene. It just happens.
Is there a problem here?
Can I make this right for you?
And the receipt comes. Oh, God. Who ordered three Pepsis? Who got three Pepsis?
Whenever I check out at the counter with her at a store, I'm like, you don't have to say
the
price.
They examine the whole receipt.
Don't say the price.
Every
just take
detail.
My card. Because she's going to be confused about the $6 grapes.
Mm-hmm.
They were $1.39 a pound. How come they're $6? I don't know, Grandma. A lot of pounds of grapes.
I like grapes, Grandma.
I swear to God, he just said that your sweater is a nice color. That's all he said.
Take my money.
He did not say colored. He said a nice color.
When we go out with my mother-in-law, we ask the servers to not explain the prices attached to the specials because she thinks everything's overpriced.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm just going to eat at home. $26 for
I'm
I mean,
hungry.
Like, she can,
I'm
you know,
hungry.
She does not want to deal with that. Like, I mean, I get it.
These dishes
it's expensive
overpriced.
Eating out.
Or when they get, like, a pint of Sprite, my grandma's like, oh, this is huge. Why'd you get me such... I'm like, this is just how the Sprite comes, okay? Just drink the Sprite as much as you want. It's the same price, and it's free refills if you want more.
It is funny, because you have an interesting additional confounding variable to this,
that's
which
true.
Is that she really is from the old country, and she just comes here for X amount of months a year from the old country, right? And so she lives in these two worlds. And you will notice, as people age, they get confused about the two. You move them around, they forget where they just were. And it is just, oh, it's a lot of fun. Oh, is it so much fun.
847, keep laughing, y'all. You'll be there pretty soon yourselves.
Now, you know what? This is so funny, because my parents, when they were taking care of their parents,
they said
don't ever let me get like this. Just get, you know what, because just kill me. Or, you know, like, it's like, wait, no, whatever. They're like, I don't want to live to be like this. I just don't want to do it. And now I'm taking care of them. And they're like, I need you to carry me. I'm carrying them like Norman Bates was carrying his mother around up and down stairs.
You're a very good son. You do a lot for them. I know.
And my grandma, just to clarify, is my best friend, so I enjoy every minute of taking care of her.
There you go.
And now you have handles for all your cast iron skillets.
You won't get burned.
Now I want to ask you a question. Would you take the rap for that so grandma doesn't have to get cuffed? Next time she walks out of a place with a bunch of stuff, would you go, hey, I was the one who took it.
Well, be letting her grandma get handcuffed outside of Chili's?
That's kind of the nice part, though, because old people don't get in trouble for anything, so...
People kind
of be surprised.
That's why she's taking her grandmother around with her all the time. Don't you cover?
Yeah.
Classic cover up situation.
Grandma, put something in your purse.
Take that, Nana. Yeah.
Just put it in your purse. No one will question you, Grandma. Say you don't speak English.
Okay, so now we're going to try this on at the jewelry store. Now I need you to just walk with it right now.
Oh, gosh. But see, the problem is she would repeat everything I'm saying to her loudly.
Let her do it in Serbian. That would even be better. Serbo-Croatian. I don't want to start a war.
Yeah, Serbian.
Yeah. Just have her repeat it mad, and then get, you know, she walks out.
She thinks she's being sneaky. She never is.
Plus, you guys sound so angry when you talk in Serbian, so everyone just steer clear of you guys.
That's really true.
Are they fighting over there?
That's really true.
They're just saying hello to each other.
They expect gunfire to erupt. That's how it goes.
And they're saying, like, I really like your sweater you're wearing today, Grandma. It sounds like full-blown war's going on.
Right, the next thing you know, it's like the Mueller over here, right? That's what it sounds like all day long. That's all they're listening to.
What was that, Violetta?
I just said...
It sounded angry, though.
No, it wasn't. I just said, I like you a lot, Grandma. What do you got to say? I don't know why I said that, but I did.
Do you say that to her often?
What do you got to say, Grandma?
Can you say, Grandma, put this in your purse?
Baco, pon yung pasta
in
the torbatam.
In my purse?
Why am I putting the bracelet in my purse?
I mean, we just totally look like a bunch of gypsies for sure. She's wearing a babushka.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
this should be a reality show.
Oh my god, it really, really should be. I honest to god, there should be cameras in these people's home. All right,
all you have to do is look at Violetta's Instagram. It's the same thing.
I know. Yeah, I do. My grandma is a big feature on my Instagram while she's in town.
She is. Actually, it's pretty funny of her on her tablet and everybody on there.
Yeah,
you're celebrating Christmas and everybody's on their tablet.
Yeah, last night was Christmas, Serbian Christmas, and I look around. My grandma's on her iPad. My dad's on his phone. And so I started Instagramming them. I'm like, you guys have a problem. It's not the young generation.
Were they just talking to each other on that?
Probably not.
It's not just the kids anymore with the technology.
I want to know, does your grandmother, when your grandmother looks at your father, does she see the same thing we do?
Yes. So my grandmother that's with us now is my dad's mom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's got choice words for him. And so...
Because he's a character.
He's a character, yeah. And he's like, well... Not the most attentive person. So my grandma is always complaining. I'm like, Dad, you better watch out.
Baco will get you.
Yeah. Next thing you know, Bronco's driving her out to the airport and putting her on a plane.
Aw.
Like Helen Hayes in Airport. She's sneaking her onto a plane. All right. You know what it's time for? Hmm. It's time now to find out from Kim what's actually happening in the real WGN newsroom.
The Women's March is back on in Chicago.
Anna?
Yes. Do I have something to say here?
No.
Oh, then why are you saying my name?
Because I was asking you a question. Okay. This is where I go, Anna, and you go, yes, Ro.
And I go, oh my gosh, I go to my stack and see that I missed something to read. Yes, Ro.
And then I tell you what I'm going to say. It's just like that Prince record.
Got
it's
it.
Just like, you know, is the yes. water warm yet?
Yeah. Yes, Roe.
Mm-hmm. If you right now would like to be caller number 19 at 312-981-7200, you're going to rip us off for a pair of tickets to go see the Hawks take on the Golden Knights of Las Vegas on Saturday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing for all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com and listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. And I would like to say that the Hawks, very fun the last couple of weeks. I mean, you got this sense, even in the games that they have lost, save like one of them. They've been in every game to the very end.
Patrick Kane's goal last night. Whoa.
Yeah.
That'll be on the highlight reel for a while.
It's, I mean, there are some really, they're having fun and they're, you know, they, if they go on a little bit of a streak here, they will make the playoffs.
Great.
That's how crazy this season has been. As bad as they were in November and December, they turned it around at the end of December. Even the, I thought the Winter Classic was a really fun game. I know they lost it. But I'm taking even I'm taking victory out of losses right now because there are some things that you're seeing that are really, really fun to see. So we'll be there tomorrow night.
We will.
Yeah.
Love being out there at the UC.
Yep. So we're gonna enjoy ourselves, whether we like it or not. You hear me?
We always have fun there.
Yeah. We do.
We and sometimes we don't even sometimes we never ever enter the stadium part. We never
we just do laps
in the concourse and up in the different areas.
Well,
never...
the United Center has become this major entertainment venue. Everywhere
so
you go, there's like a new bar here. There's a new spot here. There's a new spot here. So we just do laps. You know, say hello to our people.
Great coffee place.
Every once in a while, we look at
Queenie's.
We walk in, look at the ice, and then walk back out.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's it is such a great experience.
It is
such a great experience. So we are going to
and they're always changing it up, right? They're always going to bring some new restaurants in. Mm-hmm. I love it. Checking out all the food. The chef Mike comes over and visits us.
Yes.
One of the highlights.
That's for us. It's a highlight for the rest of the attendees of the game. They can only dream of Chef Mike serving them a bowl of deliciousness. But
he's good at it.
There is it's a great evening, and there are it's still a sellout. It's still a sellout every night. It's crazy. It's crazy. And if they go on, like I said, they go on a tear, right? They lost last night, but if they pick it up. They're in town a lot, right? They're in town tomorrow. They're in town on Saturday. And it's going to be something.
Yeah.
It's going to be something.
Love being out there.
All right. Right now, I want to tell you that we got a top 5-5 coming up. And coming up at the bottom of next hour, so about 35 minutes away, you got Mark McKinnon. The circus is coming back. And I can't believe that they're doing this, but they're doing it. They're bringing it back. And we've got Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine newsroom, in 2 minutes. Nope. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis happened in 2019, man.
That's right. Happy 2019.
Lots of stuff going on here in the city of Chicago and in the United States of America. U.S. of A.
Great country.
It is a great country. Every once in a while, it gets a little wacky. I'm going to tell you something. The best television show of the year is going to be on at 8 o'clock tonight.
Primetime Address by President Trump.
How long is he going to go?
They said about 10 minutes, and then Chuck and Nancy are going for 10 minutes.
Is there an over-under on that time?
I got a guy. What is Nick got? What's the over-under from Nick?
Dog guy. Twelve and a half.
I'll take the offer.
Nance is going long.
Plus one pony.
Life's too short to bet the under.
That's true. All right. So anyway, it's going to be something. There's always going to be something. It's going to be wacky. There's going to be a wall. You know, the drinking game should be every time he says wall. Because I'll bet you on the over-under that. Nick, what do you think that's going to be?
Nick, what do you got?
Well, because now they're talking about flats. I think maybe it's going to be low. It's going to be 15.
The steel slats.
I'll take the over on that. Yeah, how many times did you say steel? Wall.
Now, steel, I would say steel's probably 15. We'll do this a little bit later. We got to get to the top 5-5.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do an entire drinking game arrangement for you at 6:40. Because, as it turns out, we were going to talk about the kicking of the field goal with the fine
Goose
folks
Island.
From Goose Island, but lawyers got in the way. So we are going to, we'll have to address that later this week.
Darn lawyers.
Lawyers got in the way. Lawyers always get in the way.
ruin all the fun.
Where's a lawyer when you need one? All right, let's do this.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. You ready? Here we go.
Ready.
Hold on, I'm having a little technical.
Classic technical difficulty.
Five over fired
at the very beginning. It seemed a little loud, overmodulated a little bit.
And then we got to that part of the song that we never hear.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It drags on
because
a little bit.
Because we're having a technical, it's all part of a government shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that the TSA actually runs the top five at five. Did you know that?
Oh, no. A lot of responsibility.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
I feel safer.
That's why it's really the long lines at O'Hare at 5 o'clock are because they're working on this project.
Got to do
it. 5 to 5:30.
Somebody's
like
got to do
thing.
It.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Keep the top five
Number
at five safe.
Five.
Mike Pence sat down with Stephanopoulos today and ABC News. And he says that the border wall is being held up by the Democrats. And Jonathan Carl asked the Veep about the campaign promise that Mexico would pay for the wall. Well, what about that?
That was a promise that he didn't say once or twice or three times. He said over and over and over again, Mexico's going to pay.
That's right. And the president renegotiated the NAFTA agreement, now the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, in a way that will benefit the United States of America in jobs and tax revenues in the hundreds of billions of dollars.
That's not what he said. He didn't say he was
going
to renegotiate a deal.
To come.
He didn't quite say that, did he?
No.
It's pretty clear the way he said it.
Walk your way out of this.
He said Mexico was going to pay.
And we've also, John, negotiated a new arrangement with Mexico going forward that when individuals come into this country and come to this country and apply for asylum, they'll be able to remain in Mexico while they're going through the judicial process. As I sit here today, Democrats refuse to even negotiate to end the shutdown and address the border crisis, and it's time they came back to the table.
Okay.
President going to try to sway the public tonight.
That's what this is all about tonight.
Humanizing the border wall and the need for it and try to bring more people onto his side.
Nobody buys. Even Sarah Sanders doesn't buy the whole, they're paying for it because we renegotiated the Uskamamama. First of all, the Uskamamama.
Not the NAFTA, it's the Uskamamama.
Uskamamama does not even exist yet. So we don't even know what we're going to get out of it. Congress has to ratify it. It's a treaty. And who knows if that's even going to happen? And we've had every expert in the world, including the ambassador to Canada, who was part of the whole NAFTA and Uskamamamama thing,
right?
Explain there's no difference between NAFTA and Uskamamamama.
Very little.
I mean, it's like, come on. You know, Pence, if you want to be president, and you got a very good shot right now. Nick has you. I forget if his name is Vic or Nick anymore because I know I can't remember who's the real guy. Nick has you right now as a lock to be president in this year. You're like a 10-to-1 favorite. You're a 1-to-10. A 1-to-10 to become president. You're going to have to start acting a little bit more, you know. We need to trust somebody. And it might as well be you. Because that's that human bobblehead routine where you just sit there and you smile and your head moves back and forth.
Yeah, and try to defend things like Mexico's going to pay for it.
Yeah. You're going to be president before Christmas. We're going to have the war on Christmas again because of you. All right.
Number four.
Isn't it be perfect to have him as president during Elf on the Shelf season, wouldn't it? Because he's like the perfect guy to be. He's like a human Elf on the Shelf. And he has the exact same expression as the Elf on the Shelf when the president's talking. Sort of wide-eyed, looking at you. You know, like, is he doing something? Is he enjoying something? Is he passing gas? Because the Elf on the Shelf, it looks like he's either got his hands down his pants or he's passing gas. It's one or the other.
Or he's sinking back in his chair when it gets ugly. Like with the Chuck and Nancy back and forth.
Right. Exactly. He just sit there. And it's like he becomes a human statue with the Elf on the Shelf expression. Okay. Oh, Kellyanne Conway was speaking today. She got into a smackdown with Jim Acosta of CNN, nemesis. He asked her if Trump would be honest in Tuesday's Oval Office speech.
Can you promise that the president will tell the truth tonight? Will he tell the truth?
Yes, Jim, can you promise that you will?
I will.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth shall help you, God?
I'm not the
Am I allowed to mention God to you?
Problem like you do.
Jim, I know that's a cheap. Make sure that goes viral.
Okay.
This is why, by the way, this is why I'm one of the only people around here who even gives you the time of day.
Can you guarantee
And let me get back in your face, because you're such a smart ass most of the time, and I know you want this to go viral. A lot of these people don't like you.
Oh, wow.
They don't like you. She really is. This is the best mean girl act of all times, isn't it? She's like, she walks into the lunchroom, right? And she's like, I'm not going to sit with you.
No one likes you.
No one likes you.
Why are you even here?
I can't even. Whatever.
You know what's worse than hearing her do it? You two do it.
Kevin and Roe, mean girl.
Whatever, Violetta.
Whatever.
Whatever.
People don't even like you here. Why don't you go? Why don't you go to another school?
I like when they talk over each other and they just get louder and louder.
Wait, is there more of this blank show?
But let me just be respectful to the media writ large, as I always am. Mm-hmm. I explained that was alternative information and additional facts. And I explained it many times. And don't you put it back in my face for all the corrections that your network needs to issue. I was on your network 25 or 26 times in 2018. I'm one of the last people here who even bothered to go on. And the disrespect that you show to me personally, I'll just look past.
Ma'am,
and don't call me ma'am to make it up.
Don't call her ma'am, because it really annoys her. Anyway, it annoys every woman when you call them ma'am, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not the best.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I called someone ma'am today and I felt weird.
Yeah.
I'm like, nobody says ma'am anymore.
People call me ma'am. I'm like,
they say miss.
Not ma'am.
Is miss okay?
Nah, not missy.
Not miss even.
All right, missy. I got your alternative facts right here. And by the way, what a pile of steaming horse excrement that was, which was I was offering not alternative facts, alternative whatever the words were that she just said there. They lied. That all goes back to the crowds at the inauguration.
Yeah.
And they were clearly lying about it. I was offering an alternative, an additional information. The additional information was a lie. And you know what? It's been 500 days or whatever it's been, and there's so much other water under the bridge, and who really gives, you know, two bleeps about that, 700 days, whatever. What has it been? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter. It does
nobody
not
even
really
likes
matter.
You.
Nobody, seriously.
Get out of here. Who invited you?
A lot of these people don't like you.
A lot of these people don't like you. No, yeah, she didn't even... She waited until the end, like,
sounds
and by
like
the
something
way...
something Violetta and her friends would say in, like, right. grammar school.
Right. A lot of these people don't... Okay, so who is it that doesn't like me? Who? Wait, if Jim Acosta were like... He'd go, wait, who? Who? Not Caitlin Collins. She likes me, right? She's my colleague, right? Does Sarah Sanders like me?
No one likes you.
Sarah Sanders has to like me, right?
Nobody even likes you.
That sounded very natural for Viola.
Does Major Garrett like me? I like Major Garrett.
Nope. Try again.
Oh. All right.
Nobody even likes you.
Wait a second. Do you realize she's the counselor to the president?
Yeah, I know.
The counselor
that's the
to the president just said people around here don't even like you. Oh my God, what happened to America? Kim, what's going on in the news?
Cook County State's attorney calling on victims of singer R. Kelly to come forward.
A lot of these people don't like you.
No, senor! No, senor! Hey, papa!
Oh, boy. Another day in Washington.
A lot of people don't even like you.
It's very good. That's very good.
I feel like I can't stop talking like her, though.
Oh, oh my God. What is she going to do on the other side? What on the other side of this, after everybody's either gone to prison or America is a smoking ash heap, what is Kellyanne Conway going to go? Who's she going to represent? What company is going to hire her to represent their brand?
How is she even where she is now?
Well, oh. She helped the president get elected.
I mean, yeah. She's been a political operative pollster for a long time. I don't know. Anyway, can we move on now?
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah, we got to do this. All right.
Number three.
Oh, no.
What?
Lindsay Lohan is back.
Speaking of Mean Girls.
Right.
We're just talking about it.
She is going to star in a reality show about her as a businesswoman. Apparently, she's a businesswoman now. She owns, what, hotels or something, right?
She's opening up a club. Clubs, yeah.
Beach house clubs in Mykonos, Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Horace written all over it.
Are you ready? To work for me, you have to be the best of the best.
I'm so nervous to see how Lindsay is as a boss.
I'm going to watch everything they do. They came here to work.
Everybody's stressed out.
I didn't bust my ass for this to happen. Just like everyone watches me, I'm watching them. Cameras flip now.
She said she's trying to remake her image, but I don't really hear it from that promo there, that there's something different. She's buying her own island, by the way, called Lindsay Land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's buying it.
She has her own.
With her own money. Right? Remember she was having to like Uber to her court appearances? And the lawyers were all like, we're leaving. We're not getting paid. We're leaving. Let me just ask you this. Mm-hmm. Does this make her the next president of the United States? Because it sounds a little like The Apprentice.
Please.
She looks way different.
Nobody even likes her.
A lot of these people don't like you.
She's not that little actress from, you know, Parent Trap anymore. She looks like
the before and after,
right,
of like, don't do meth pictures.
Yes, exactly. When they show the mugshot of the woman with the stringy hair and the no teeth. That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Progressively getting worse.
The TV
looks like
really...
she's 60 and they go, born in 1999.
Like, no way.
Number two.
Remember Brie, the Bachelor contestant who greeted Colton Underwood with an Australian accent?
Colton, what's your name?
Brie.
Brie.
So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. You got a nice accent. Where are you from?
The accent, it's Australian. I was hoping that you're kind of a sucker for accents.
I am.
I didn't know what you think about it.
I love it. I'll see you inside, all right?
Okay, all sounds right, good. Bye. I'm not really Australian, but you have to do what you can to stand out.
Oh, gee.
I'd like to clarify something after seeing the episode.
Mm-hmm.
She does not lie that she's from Australia. She says, oh, the accent, it's Australian. So she didn't really lie. She just said, I thought you'd be a sucker for it and making like a good first impression.
But she doesn't have an accent.
Can you people just stop here? I have more tape. Stop explaining what she's about to explain.
How are you?
Oh, crocky, mate.
Yeah.
So I came up to you with an Australian accent earlier. I don't know if you noticed, I'm not actually Australian.
Oh, I was like, Jesus, where did it go?
My Australian accent is kind of like an icebreaker, so I'll just like start talking like I'm from Australia, and it's really fun.
Oh my God. You know, even a concrete cowboy, that wouldn't last. I just want to know, you walk up to, like, even at Bottle Blonde, if you walked up with an Australian accent, all the guys there would be like, okay, whatever, next.
It's the icebreaker. A lot of Valley Girl talk.
There's more of her.
So have you even spent time in Australia?
I've never been. I would love to go, but it's my favorite accent.
Wait, where are you from now? Like, where are you living
now? I'm from L.A.
L.A.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for work, for modeling, you stay based out in L.A. or do you travel? Or?
I get to travel a little bit here and there.
And Southwest.
In L.A., so.
Gotcha. Obviously not to Australia or anything like that.
No, not to Australia. Not anytime soon.
Hey.
Yeah.
You're a pro at this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gee.
You're a moron. I can't believe. You know, the only thing that has worked here is that promo that shows them actually jumping over a fence. That's the only thing about this that you go, oh, maybe the guy's interesting. Maybe he's like an incredible athlete and he's going to do. Maybe he's a superhero. But I don't care if he lost his virginity. I don't care anything about these people whatsoever.
Is he the virgin? This one?
Yeah.
I've lost. Oh,
yeah, this
okay.
is the virgin.
He's a red bird.
Okay.
This is the virgin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From Illinois State.
Oh, you know what? Oh, don't do that. Illinois State doesn't need that. They got you and Richard Roper. They don't need this.
And Jane Lynch, John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Craig Robinson.
Don't do this. Do not, do not add him.
Fear the bird.
Do not add him.
He's out.
All right. Because that was the promo. Has the virgin lost his virginity? That's like the big promo this week.
Maybe that's just his icebreaker.
Because that's the, right. I think
I'm a virgin, but not really.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of reclaimed it. I've got four kids, but the point is that, like, I stopped having sex for like a week, so like I'm a virgin.
Gotcha, now I have kids and herpes. Totally gotcha.
Oh.
Not a virgin.
Oh.
I get around a little bit.
Colton, a lot of these people don't like you.
Colton does not have herpes.
Colton does not have herpes.
No. All right. lawyers.
Number one.
Just kidding.
Gotcha, joke. Not a virgin.
Oh, God. All right.
Best of luck to everybody.
Last, yeah, exactly.
I got a blister.
Right, I got to take a couple weeks off. Monday Night Raw last night, Hulk Hogan paid tribute to Mean Gene, who died last week at the age of 76 from complications of a bad fall. Throughout his long tenure with the WWE, Mean Gene was known for his charisma, his impeccable skills as an interviewer, and in some cases, comic relief. The Hulk spoke for WWE superstars and fans alike with this message.
Well, let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I know exactly what you're doing, brother. You're up there, and all the angels are singing Tutti Frutti on top of those big white clouds. I know that you're putting the greatest tag match together, brother. The tag match between the Macho Man, ooh yeah, Randy Savage, and the Ultimate Warrior versus Roddy Piper and Mr. Perfect. So, Mean Gene, I guess there's just one question. What you gonna do when Mean Gene-O-Mania runs wild on you, brother?
I still can't believe people buy this, but okay.
It's fun. I bought it back in the day.
Did you buy that it was real, or did you? You never believed it.
Well,
was real.
No, when
you
were very young, yes, we all were like, "Wait a minute, did he just really pummel him on his head? Did that happen? Is he hurt? Like, you know, that kind of stuff."
Yeah,
but then
they're making physical contact with each other. That part's real.
I have boxes and boxes and boxes of wrestling figures. I was obsessed.
I remember the day I told my dad it wasn't real,
and you were five.
It's almost like yeah.
That was last year. Dad, we need to have a talk, Dad.
I think he's like, go to your room. I'm like, okay, it's not, just letting you know it's fake.
Broke notice how the guy always gets back up? Have you ever noticed that?
That's true.
At the end, when you think he's out, he comes back in. Do you ever notice that?
That's true. But they're always dramatic. Clutching their back, and it really looks painful.
Yeah.
The look
some of these
face.
Guys actually do get hurt.
Oh, they're all a mess later on in life. They can barely walk, get out of bed.
Yeah, because it's a gymnastics thing, and the pratfalls and the whole thing. It's just craziness. That's what I'm here to tell you. What I'm also here to tell you is that we got to close this thing up, and then on the other side, Mark McKinnon is going to join us. The circus is coming back. It's so messed up. They got to bring the circus back. It's starting again. He'll explain the whole thing to us, but first, Kim Gordon standing by. She's got the WGN News right after I close this door.
The top five at five.
All yours, Kim. That music means one thing.
It does. It's back.
It is back. And it never goes away. And thank God it doesn't go away. Because the circus is the only thing that keeps me sane. Because on Sundays and Showtime, when the circus comes on, I watch it. I've lived the entire week of craziness in the news cycle of Washington's, you know, of the Trump administration, Washington, and all the rest of it. And then I sit and I think to myself, oh, my God, I'm not crazy. Because they're seeing the same thing I'm seeing.
The same thing.
Oh, man. You're proving my point, Mark McKinnon.
Well, the circus never stops. So the hardest part for us is it's really difficult to ever go off the air, you know, because if the bar for being on the air that something interesting is happening, that means we'd never go off. But we do have a budget and we do have our health to consider. So, but we're coming back much earlier than we thought. I mean, we just went off pretty recently. But of course, we got a new Congress. We've got, I think it's highly likely, and that's part of the reason for our timing, that we think that there's a good possibility that some of the Mueller investigation will present itself during this next run of our season four.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's as always, Just, let me just look at today and tonight.
So, can I give you a date? Can I just give you a date? I don't know anything. You don't know anything. None of us know anything. We just hear the same things that everybody says, because Mueller is keeping a very tight lid on this thing. But the number that everybody seems to come to a consensus on is the 22nd of January. The Tuesday would be 2 weeks from today. The Tuesday right after you got the MLK holiday. And that's the week that you guys would be preparing for your premiere that following Sunday, the 27th. And that's right.
We start filming the 20th, yeah.
Yeah. It seems to me that that's kind of what everybody agrees on is a moment here. And because there's certain triggers in Mueller in terms of things that he has to prove up by a certain date anyway. Mm-hmm. They just blew through one of them yesterday, but it looks like there's other things going on with this Manafort. I want to bring this up because this is an important thing, that Paul Manafort, it was Paul Manafort's lawyers who did not redact the part of the filing that indicates that Manafort was actually talking to a Russian business guy who's got intelligence ties and sharing proprietary polling information about Trump 2016 with him. What does that mean?
Well, it means a whole lot. I mean, first of all, he's lied about that to the prosecutors because he said that didn't happen. So that's another culpability in the legal case. Two, that he's sharing proprietary information not only with foreigners, but with foreign intelligence services. So where does that go? And furthermore, it also goes to the whole question of Paul Manafort. We know owed a lot of money to particular Russians, and that he's trying to pay it off through an exchange of information in lots of different ways. So it gets to be a pretty tangled web that has no good answers.
You know, and he'll say, the president will say this, when Manafort goes down, I didn't even know Manafort. I mean, I had nothing to do with him. He was there for a short period of time. People said that he did some things. I had nothing to do with it. He was a nobody. If Paul Manafort were indeed, and he kind of was, I mean, when he became the campaign chairman, everybody's like, how did he end up there? That will be the question. How did he end up there? How did this guy, who was sort of on the outs from everybody else, was it a case of no one wanted to work for Trump and he was the only guy? Which we know is not true, because Trump had Don McGahn working for him.
Well, you know who it was that put him in the place to get the job was Roger Stone.
Oh.
And why would somebody listen to that nutbag? I mean, seriously.
Well, Roger Stone and Paul Manafort worked together, and Roger Stone has worked for Trump for years and years. One of the first time I ever met Roger Stone was at a meeting of the Atlantic City Casino Association with Roger Stone and Donald Trump. And I'll say, I also, the spookiest meeting I ever had in my whole life was a meeting with Paul Manafort in Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
Where I literally walked out and showered as quickly as possible because I felt like I'd been meeting with a mobster. I think that, the important thing about all of this is Trump keeps saying, no collusion, no collusion. You know, ultimately, he may be right. They probably weren't smart enough to actually collude. But I think that's the least of his problems. The problem here is it's Occam's razor, which is the easiest answer is probably the right answer, which is this guy never expected to be president. It was going to be a little roll of the dice, go out there and play around, get a bunch of media, and then we know from our reporting that he planned to endorse Chris Christie for president. So the notion that people would be looking into his taxes or his business dealings from back in the New York days never crossed his mind, and if he thought that would actually be looked into, he never would have run.
Yeah, well, I think
that's my view.
I mean, one of the things about Donald Trump that I think everybody would agree, including Kellyanne Conway, and all the rest of the people who've been fiercely defensive of the president, he's not really big on details, and he will even be the first to admit that he's a big picture guy, and the details. The funny thing, Mark, is that we had Donald Trump on this radio show in the summer of 2015 when he was first announcing he was going to do this. And
oh, did you? Really?
Yes. And I asked him specifically that question about his kids and his business. Yeah. And does he want all of these people looking into what he's doing? And he said, oh, my kids are 110% behind it. It's all fine. Everybody's for it. And you're like, did you really stop and think about what this was going to mean for everybody?
Well, I don't think he did because he just didn't think he was going to be president. That was not really part of the plan. But here he is, and so we're just waiting on Robert Mueller. I mean, your point on the facts, there was an interesting development with Kellyanne Conway in the last 24 hours that I'm sure you saw, where she's correcting Sarah Sanders, who said there were 4,000 terrorists who had come over the border. And, you know, actually that number is 6. And so Kellyanne had to but it's a pretty rare thing that Kellyanne would say, well, you know, maybe we were wrong on that one.
Yeah. Well, why do you think they're doing it? Why do you think they're correcting the record? Because they've not correct. There's so many other things that they could correct every day that they know.
I don't. It was. That's what I said. It was kind of a. That's not a usual thing for Kellyanne to do. So that could be a long knife play.
You also saw it on Fox News. It was a Chris Wallace interview, and even Fox News was taking the position that, wow, this really deserved a correction, and it wasn't true. It simply just wasn't true, and you know the president watches Fox, and that potentially that had something to do with it. What do you think about tonight, though, Mark, when we're all expecting the primetime address from the president? Is he going to declare a national emergency? What's your expectation?
All the reporting seemed to suggest that he won't declare emergency tonight. That gets extremely problematic on so many different levels. I think he's going to try this as a first step. I don't think it's eliminating that potential. I think part of this is, well, there's so many things we can talk about on this, but first of all, it's striking to me that this is his first Oval Office presentation. I think the reason he hasn't done this before is this is not his natural element. He's much better when he's freelancing. You know, when he did his announcement speech, he just made it up on the spot, and you know, pulled it out of his hip pocket. So to have a teleprompter, you know, in the Oval Office is very subdued. It's not his natural environment. I think that's why he hasn't done it before. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays. You know, I think he's just going to try and play all the cards that he's got in trying to make the case for the wall, which, you know, we all know was really a good campaign metaphor, but then it had to become a governing reality. And that's been the big problem because there's so many conflicting issues. You know, on one hand, he says there's tons of wall down there. It's a beautiful wall. And the reality is that the numbers are way down from the high of 2007. So the notion that it's a national emergency is you know, just not supported by any facts anywhere. But that would get into an interesting constitutional discussion and probably go through all the courts. So,
right. He just wants
to
fight.
Once again, it'll be...
Yeah, it's just about...
Yeah, he wants to fight. By the way, what better thing to talk about when the walls are closing in than let's go build a wall?
Yeah. Yeah. There's really no irony there. It is interesting to watch him at this moment decide that he's just going to go to what he knows best, which is create as much drama and chaos. And you know, he goes to his inner television producer and all that, and he wants to make it all about these other elements, because he figures that it's, if it distracts him, it will distract the nation. And it, to some degree, he's right, because we're not talking about Mueller. I think the third week of January we'll be talking about Mueller, but right now we're not. And I think there's some other pieces in here that he figures he's going to be able to kind of get away with if he creates enough of a distraction. And this gives him a fight. He wants a fight, and he thinks his only chance here is to, again, appeal to the darkest angels of we, the American voters, and he's trying to pique our fear and our hatred of other people, or our dislike or mistrust of other people, and get us all kind of turning on each other, which, again, why would someone go into public service in the greatest human experiment, political human experiment of all times? Why would you go in and try to destroy this place based on that, when you've seen the wreckage? If you have any sense of history, you don't have to have that much. Fourth grade, you could learn the enough history to know that doing that ends in ash heaps.
Well, it certainly ends in ash heaps, and if you look around the world, you look around history, you know, think about what the historical context is for calling national emergencies. Who does that and when?
Right.
It's not a good history.
Right, yeah. Bad guys, and it's now. Yeah, you're right.
Come back in with us in a couple of weeks, and we'll have it all for you, that on the circus.
You know what? That week, we'll try to talk to you, but I think you're going to be a little busy that week leading up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see on the 27th. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Definitely talk to my friends in Chicago.
All right. Appreciate Thank it. You, sir.
Thanks, Mark.
Kick it hard.
We'll talk about it. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Mark McKinnon.
The man with the hat.
And the boots.
And a headband around the hat. You know, a hat band.
Mm.
He's got the fun hat bands and scarves. You know, I tried that. You know, I'm such
you
a fan of his. I've tried that look. It doesn't work for me.
I think you have to be short to pull that off.
Well, he's you know, he's like an Olympic kind of athlete.
Yeah.
He's like this crazy 0% body fat guy. And that's not working for me.
He looks strong.
Yeah, it looks right. Yeah, I got him. Yep.
No, he does.
Oh, what? Oh, okay. Kim, what's coming up in the news?
Well, speaking of hats and boots, you may soon see more pickup trucks parked in Flossmoor.
You know what?
They kind of go
okay,
sorry.
I see. You know what I saw? I saw her do this. I saw the wheels turning. Like, okay, I'm going to tie this all together because that's what I do. I'm going to tie it all together. But then Flossmoor. Then how did Flossmoor take it on the
chin?
That's
where it sort of yeah. got it took a
listen.
Turn.
Yeah. We'll tell you.
All right. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories of matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Yep. Vic Fangio is trending all afternoon, and I don't like it. Dinner, by the way, with John Elway last night, Lake Forest.
Oh,
called
see?
It.
You
see?
Could call it, actually.
Kat. We're in Lake Forest. Levels is closed up there now. I don't know where
don't,
to go.
No, but the...
I'll look
confirmed.
Into it.
You got to look into that. And then you also are hearing from the Denver Broncos reporter, Mile High Report, that they're leaning toward Vic Fangio for Denver's head coaching
One
job.
Of two finalists.
One of two.
Maybe they were at the sleek Japanese spot, Sushi Kushi.
Vic doesn't seem like a sushi guy.
No, he doesn't.
He seems like give
Elway
me a
seems like it, though.
Elway, yeah.
Although Elway, you know.
His restaurant isn't. It's more of a steakhouse.
Yeah. But I think Elway is a guy. Elway is one of those guys who made so much money, and he became super fancy.
Yeah, you see his sunglasses rocks now?
Yeah,
I know.
He's
total
got
diva.
It going on.
He's private jet John now.
Oh, yeah.
He's like up there, and you see him in the box up right. there. Denver is a great... I mean, I love Denver, Colorado. It's a great... The whole state is great, but Denver is a really amazing city. But Vic Fangio would hate it. First of all, you get short of breath real easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's walking around.
Yeah, and they're smoking so much dope. And wouldn't you want... Don't you want to win a Super Bowl with the Bears here next year?
Gosh.
Finish what you started.
Because all we got to do is get rid of one freaking guy. One freaking guy.
Yeah. Well,
it's all.
I hope they don't take him.
That's all I want to say. Yeah. And what
he stays here.
And then what do we do? What happens then? I don't want to talk about it yet.
No. Yep.
Maybe they're Francesca's.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See what she's doing here now? Now she's just trying to eat for free. I invented that move.
No.
All right. Coming up. Stand by. Coming up, the stories of matter with Kim Gordon in 2 little minutes. Thank you, Kim Gordon. All right. Tomorrow in Springfield, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's, which is, you know, what, about 100 and something miles, 130 miles south of Chicago, and or 140 miles south of Chicago, and 140 years away.
It feels like a longer yeah. drive than that.
Is the new House of Representatives and the new governor and the new everything today. The old governor was leaving. Now we got the new governor. We're getting sworn in tomorrow. The whole thing's starting tomorrow. Whole new thing. All but new.
Could have a budget. There's a budget in place.
Let's see what
largest
happens.
Spending bill.
Now, Bill Brady is an old friend of the show. The man ran for governor, as you might remember, mm-hmm. A number of years ago. He's been a Republican leader down in Springfield for many, 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 many years. And he joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And you thought it was tough before, Bill. Now what? What's going
What comes next?
What is going to happen down there now?
I'm just worried about a wind advisory in the Windy City. You know, we got to be optimistic. Illinois needs leadership. We need to stabilize our state. I'm hopeful that the next few years will prove productive in that way. Governor Pritzker gets sworn in, as you said, next Monday. The new legislature gets sworn in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new day, and we're going to try to do what we can to work to create jobs. Now, I've told the governor that there's a lot of things we can, governor-elect, there's a lot of things we can work together on, but one of them is not raising income tax rates on families and businesses, but there's a lot we can do outside of that.
Okay, so what else can we do? I'd love to hear some ideas because it seems to me like a tax increase, and we happen to live in a high salt tax already situation here, and you know with all the people that are saying, oh, we got this great tax cut from Washington. Well, if you're in Illinois, maybe you don't feel it quite the same way that people in Texas are feeling it, right, or Florida. And so the question is for those of us here, we're thinking, oh, man, the state's broke. You got Governor Pritzker, and you know, even though not a lot got done to make the state better under Rauner, at least he was talking a good game, and he was holding the line on it. I mean, but, you know, still, what are we at, to 4.9, whatever that number is. It's 5%, essentially, in terms of the tax.
4.95.
And so, people are talking about graduated taxes. I mean, what could be done, Republican Bill Brady, to keep us from really turning into Guatemala, as the president likes to tell us?
Well, the biggest thing that can be done is to create a stable environment where businesses don't leave, people don't leave, and we start creating jobs, because jobs create natural revenue growth. Governor Pritzker has told me many times he's committed to reforms in the business area that would help stabilize our state and create jobs. Now, we need a balanced budget. I believe we all also believe that we need property tax relief. You're right. The federal tax law that limits SALT to state and local tax deduction to $10,000 is burdensome on states like Illinois. Now, I still believe there are huge benefits for many people in the new tax law, but states that have overtaxed property and income, their residents are at a disadvantage under one of the provisions in the law. So we've got to do what we can to reduce those burdens, those property tax burdens, those income tax burdens on families and businesses, to give Illinois residents the same advantage they have in a state that is a low property, low income tax state. There are things that can be done. There are other revenues. There are revenues in the area of expansion of gaming. There are other revenues in terms of bringing more people in to the state that spend more money in the state and create a greater sales tax base. So there are many other ways that we can approach this, and we've got to address it in the reality of the federal tax law. And we're willing to work as long as there's a balanced approach. We know Republicans aren't going to get, being in the minority position that we're in, everything or much of everything that we want. But if we can work together and we get some ideas that Republicans believe move this state forward, and we get some ideas that Democrats believe we can move this state forward, I think it's better than a one-party approach and one-party control.
Do you think that's what happened? You saw how Speaker Michael Madigan sort of take a jab, and Bruce Rauner, the governor, took a jab back, calling it an epic struggle this entire time with Governor Rauner, that we got nowhere, and of course blamed the governor. Do you think that there just wasn't any willingness to reach across the aisle? How would you characterize Governor Rauner's efforts to do what he was trying to do as a member of your party?
Well, he certainly tried to reach across the aisle and work with some Democrats. I know that for a fact. He didn't get what he wanted done. Much of what he wanted to do exemplified what was being done in other states, but it was too much of a reach for the Democrats who controlled the General Assembly. Now, there are certainly ways we could do things different, but looking back into the past and not focusing on how you can learn from it is a mistake. So learn from the past, but learn toward the future. This state has a lot to offer, but we've got to have good policies in place. And as the Republican leader of the Senate, my colleagues and our caucus, we want to work together where we can to put good policies, good legislation in place, stabilize our state, grow jobs, and create an environment that we can really create, we believe.
Do you think we get an advantage here working with a business guy as opposed to a politician as governor?
I think there are attributes that Governor Pritzker brings to the table that are different from career politicians. I wouldn't call it necessarily an advantage. He's got a skill set that he brings. He's got some areas that he doesn't have that experience in yet. So live and learn. A lot of it has to do with the people he puts around him. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with, I think, how he works in a bipartisan way. So far, I've been impressed with the outreach. And I think, you know, we all have to maximize what our strengths are and try to find help where we're not as strong in certain areas where we have weaknesses. Yeah. If anybody who does that, whether you're a radio host or a co-host or a state senate leader or a governor, you can make the most out of that situation.
I haven't, but I understand the point. The question, I think
you have
that,
to.
I think that, you know, that, that JB has right now is how is he going to actually pull this off? And he has an opportunity, I think. You're articulating something here. You're giving you know, pretty wide opening to him being able to step up and, unlike you know, his more recent predecessors, to really make a change here. He's got to, first of all, because I mean, you know, we're kind of up against it, right? So we got to do something. But secondly, he has an opportunity to reach across and make some changes here that maybe only he uniquely can do, because he is he is a business guy. He understands what it takes to put a business up and to be successful and to attract. I mean, you know, the Hyatt Hotels Corporation, they are all over the world, and they have to go into all kinds of stressed environments to try to build projects and to build buildings and do marketing and do all those kinds of things that big businesses have to do. And they understand why you wouldn't necessarily want to be coming to Illinois. So I think he's got an opportunity to really make an opportunity here for himself politically and for the state of mm-hmm. Illinois. And I hope, with your guys' help, from across the aisle, maybe there's a common language that can be spoken. Because one of the problems you're seeing this nationally with the Democratic Party is that, the whole thing is, Trump's a goof and we don't want him anymore as president is what Democrats are saying, which, I think a lot of Americans, may agree with. But what is your policy? Right. And when their policy is, health care for everybody and free college education and taxing the rich at 80%, that's not going to fly either.
No.
And J.B. Pritzker doesn't seem to be that kind of a Democrat. So at least there's some hope there.
I think you're right. People would love to see that be real, but it's not. And I think, and hopefully he realizes there are things that we have to do to change this state, and helping make sure people have access to health care, making sure people have access to higher education is all important. But there's other things. Those are important things to do. But being real about what your goals are is important, and that's the voice that we hope to bring. But we've got a lot to offer. This state does. And there are certain things that Governor Rauner did that I think put us on a good foundation. Tuition tax credits were something he fought for underprivileged economically children who could go to private schools. The whole education bill he got done. So there are foundational things that were accomplished in the last 4 years that can be built upon, and we can work in a bipartisan way with Governor Pritzker and the legislature.
All right. Well, I like the tone you're setting, Bill. That's what I like. I like that. I like that sense that there's that, maybe it is a new day. Maybe we take advantage of the newness of all of this, and we try. And it always happens. Like in day two, everybody's fighting with each other. But maybe there is an opportunity here, because again, you got to fix something here.
Well, I come from a business background, and I'm still involved, and every day's not easy, but if you don't look to the future and how you can make it brighter, government's the same in many respects, and that's what we got to look for. We got to look to the future, work together. The people of Illinois need it and deserve it.
All right, Bill Brady, Illinois Senate GOP leader.
Thank you, Senator.
Appreciate it.
Thank you both.
All right.
Have a good day.
Bye. There he goes.
Mm-hmm. All right. All sounds so mm-hmm. so good.
I kind of like the idea of that. I don't know. Didn't he say he's going to live in the mansion? JB is going to mm-hmm. live in the mansion. Think about the upgrades they could do. Hyatt's real good at that.
They are. And the Rauners have already started hotels. That. So they've really,
starting with the toilets.
Renovated the mansion already.
Yeah. Bruce Rauner, we said this to him when he was in a couple of weeks ago, right before the election. He basically came in here, and he had the energy of a guy who knew it was all
defeated.
Over. Defeated. Yeah. But
very much so.
He stood up. There's endemic corruption in this state. There's endemic problems. Mm-hmm. Doing business the same way cannot be done forever. It cannot be done like this anymore, because we're going to, first of all these guys are going to go to jail. You're going to watch these dominoes fall. They're going to fall hard here, because you've got a new U.S. attorney who is, wants to do what they want to do. You got the Justice Department's going to be looking at what's happening here in Chicago very hard. And, Ed Burke, I don't think is a kind of guy who's going to want to die in prison. I just look at his suits, and I don't think that's the kind of a guy who's going to want to die in prison.
Probably there's some other people that are ensnared.
There's a long way to go before that, and I think that, this town has been built on guys who go, hey, listen, I'm standing up. As Violetta likes to say, snitches get stitches. But the reality is, it's that when push comes to shove, guys start to realize, oh, this is not going to go well. And as Ed Burke has had so many friends who've gone, right?
sure,
to federal prison. And some of them have been okay and come back and, you know, continue to live their lives. And some of them, it's ruined their lives. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to watch what happens here in Chicago over the next year, because the U.S. attorney, I can promise you this, the U.S. attorney's office is not done. There will be more.
And there may be more to the actual Ed Burke, what we learn about what they know from 8 months of wiretaps. I mean, there could be a lot more there.
Yeah. So I might get to that 50 alderman before I even know it. You know, I was, because it
what do you mean?
My career, I've just started in 1986 in Chicago.
Great year. Bears won the Super Bowl that year.
Yep. It was the end of it. Anyway, point is that, just months later, almost 11 months later after that, I started as a, working, whatever it is, broadcast journalist type here.
Yeah.
As a young 22-year-old out of college.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first year I saw an alderman go to jail in 87. And then I thought,
Who was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay.
You never remember your first. I don't know why. You should remember your first. But I watched these, and I watched these things happen. And there were some other things that happened in 1987. You might recall the death of Harold Washington and all the rest. I got to be there and watch that, like, in real time as it was happening. I climbed up the side of City Hall to get an interview with a protester who had climbed up the side. And they said to me, because I was the youngest guy there, they go, "Hey, you go up there and get him." And I did. It was like a monkey. I don't know how I did it. Now I would not be doing the same. The point is that I watched all these guys come and go, and I think right now I'm at like 28. I think of current or former aldermen who've been indicted or gone to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Until I get to all 50, I will retire on the 50th alderman being indicted or going to jail. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, could be sooner than you think.
Yeah, just a total 50. Even though this come and gone, I'm looking for a round number.
Yeah.
And the point is that there's going to be a lot of changes here. I mean, this is the biggest guy since Rostenkowski to fall.
Extremely powerful. And, you saw Governor Rauner talk about it in his exit interview, I guess you could call it, when he talked to reporters today, that he fought against corruption. And he said this was long overdue. He pointed a strong finger in Burke's direction and said this was, quote, relatively common knowledge in the business community in Chicago, what he was doing. So he's... He said he was ecstatic about it.
All right, we'll see what happens.
Holding back, but we will.
All right. Hey, it doesn't mean you're a bad guy, Ed Burke. Doesn't mean that you didn't build a thousand bridges, that you didn't do some good thing for some people. But we'll just have to see how the
it all shakes out.
Innocent until proven guilty. We have to say that.
It's true.
The lawyers make me say that. And if I'd hired Ed Burke as my lawyer, I wouldn't have been having any of these problems.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Apparently. That's what the Fed said. Anyway, here we go. Let's check in now. Let's find out for the last newscast of the afternoon, even though it's evening. Kim Gordon was coming up in 5 minutes.
President Trump about to take his controversial border wall argument to prime time.
Get real in the morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV morning news team. It's all weekdays, 4 a.m. to 10 a.m.
The President of the United States is going to take to the radio and to the television and to the intersphere at 8 o'clock Chicago time. And we'll have it live right here on 720 WGN. Andrea Darlos is going to take you through the reporters tonight, right?
She is
going to be on starting at 7 o'clock, take you right up to that and get your thoughts before it. And then afterwards, you're going to be joining her for some of that?
I'll be one of the first guests on her show tonight. And
no
then,
big deal.
Yeah. Tough booking because I love Andrea. But then she'll take us into the president's address. You're right, which will be very interesting. And then we've got the Nancy and Chuck response to the president's address following that.
Yep. Yeah.
It's all going
to
happen.
Instant reaction. Let's go to Nancy and Chuck over in our broadcast booth.
It's all lies.
Your
all
instant
of it.
Reaction.
Come on, guys. Stand up to the podium.
I almost said a bad word there. for
Jesus.
Jiminy Christmas.
Yes.
That's
Where
what you're
are
gonna
my
say.
Glasses?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Son of a gun.
Yeah. Mike Pompeo says he's seen an early version of Trump's Oval Office address for tonight, and he says he is going to make a lot of news.
So there you go.
My God.
Brace
There's
yourself.
Another guy. I swear to God, the guy's like Pompeo, who, had a career. All these people who had a career before they went into this, like, oh, no, he'll be great after. I don't think so. Guys were standing up for these moments when it all comes crashing down. all the bobbleheads, when it comes crashing down, because I promise you, it's not going to end well. I just not. I don't want it to not end well. But I didn't want this to happen in the first place. And I get it. Nobody wanted Hillary. I get it. I think if I had run for president, I could have beaten Donald Trump. I honestly do. And everybody goes, oh, he was a genius politically. No, he wasn't. He was playing in a very small pool in the Republican primaries and just being louder and brasher than the rest and saying exactly what talk radio and Fox News has been saying for years. He was repeating to those millions of voters who you get all of their information from that narrow stream of data. And he was just telling them what they wanted to hear, and that got him through the primary. And then he went up against Hillary, who was eminently beatable. I could have beaten her if we'd run. Anybody here, Violetta, were she old enough to run for president, could have beaten Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just it. So, and then we ended up with this. We ended up with a guy who does not know what he's doing. He's way out of his depth, and he doesn't know that he doesn't know what he's doing, which is really kind of the beauty of him. Is that it's sort of like, I don't care. I'm just going to do it the way everything I've ever thought, every opinion I ever had. We were talking about this earlier, when your parents get older and like all of a sudden they just will say anything and do anything. I mean, that's what we have. That's what we have that in the White House. And this isn't about politics. I would love to see a strong Republican president handling the United States of America in the way that is consistent with the values that we have all come to know and understand and adore. And that the world has come to know and understand and adore. Not just, kissing up to, Kim Jong-un and I are getting together. What? Are you kidding me? Let's just be honest about this, people. And we'll be honest about it on the other side, because we're going to set up the rules for the drinking game tonight.
That you might want to play.
Yes. That you might want to play as you follow along.
It's going to be dangerous.
Oh, look out.
Oh, gosh. Look at these words.
All right. We're going to do that. But first, Kim Gordon. WGN News being brought to you by Townsend Financial. I see what you did in there. They're playing Off the Wall. I get it.
Like it.
Coming up tonight. It's going to be something. That's all I can tell you, is it's going to be something. There is, Mike Pompeo says that the president's going to make big news tonight. Big news!
Says he's seen an advanced copy of the actual address the president will give and expect there to be big news.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Okay. I think we would like to play a drinking game.
Yes.
With this evening, when we all go home to our big house that we all share, and Aunt Judy is sometimes she still stumbles over drunk and angry, but Kim makes cookies for us now, so it's really
so
nice. She's baking stuff, and
it's so warm.
Doesn't the kitchen smell so much better now
wonderful.
That Kim is making the food for us?
That is cigarettes and
don't
booze.
Patronize me.
Oh gosh, yeah. All right, now I would say that what we have here is going to be a failure to communicate with reality coming your way starting at 8 o'clock Chicago time, and the president is going to make a speech about 10 minutes they say, and then Chuck and Nancy, like I need to hear from them. You know, if I were them, I would be like, I just let it sit out there. Why even respond? Because, I mean, most Americans get that what really needs to happen here is that there does have to be money for increased border security. They do. One of the things I think that is true about this, and all you have to do is be just rational and you could work this thing out, that you don't want to encourage people to come here and to think that they're going to come up and be able to get in and bring these kids up and do all of that, because they're risking a lot of danger in doing that. But we would have to have a way to try to stabilize the region. That's kind of been what our Central American policy has been like since the 1950s, right? Mm-hmm. When we were in during the Cold War was being fought but actually in a hot war in Central America through the 50s, 60s, and 70s into the 80s. And it was the battle of, you know, democracy versus communism. And that was what it was going on down there. And sometimes we weren't always doing the right thing. And for sure, the Russians weren't doing the right thing down there. But there was, but we have left those countries with potentate dictators, essentially. And in total lawlessness in some of the places, Guatemala now being, you know, sort of, you know, the epicenter of that, which was a stabilized country for many, many, many years. But Honduras and El Salvador and all the rest of those have been, you know, hotspots for my entire lifetime. And I'm old. So question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to do something about that? Are we going to try and create some structure, some grid down there that makes it possible for people to, you know, to want to stay there? Because for God's sake, you don't want to leave your own country if you don't have to.
No.
Right?
Why would you take that journey?
You know that's the reality. And so the question is, what are we going to do there? What are we going to do along the border? What are we going to do? And the whole idea here was, if he doesn't get his wall, he's going to lose the election in 2020 because he promised a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. Well, Mexico's not going to pay for it. I don't care how much he wants to try to twist that reality of, well, I've got the macaca. What did I just say?
The Usmaca?
Oh, right. NAFTA. I'm sorry.
I think it's still NAFTA until it becomes Usmaca.
It's a macaca. Hold on. What is it?
Is that part of the drinking game every time he mispronounces something tonight?
And so the point is this, it's probably, listen, 2020 is going to be an uphill battle for him anyway. This will not be the biggest problem for him in 2020.
But it's one of his central promises. So you're absolutely right about that. It's a tough one to walk around on the campaign trail and say, well, I didn't deliver.
All he has to do is, if he gets a dollar for it, he goes, I did it. And building a wall. I mean, listen, they're saying things that are patently untrue anyway. Why does he just say, I built a wall? No one will believe that. I mean, his supporters will believe whatever he says. His the last diehards, dead enders, as Donald Rumsfeld used to call them, that are going to be with Donald Trump in 2020 are going to believe whatever he says. So it doesn't matter. So we can just say he's going to build a wall. It's fine. It's fine. I'm building a wall. I built it. The Usmacaca is giving me the wall.
Who's my cock?
Anyway, tonight he's going to address the nation, and this is the drinking game that we have devised.
Okay.
You may take a sip. We're trying to help you here, okay? Because we know certain things are going to happen.
Right.
You may take a sip of whatever you're drinking. And again, it could be just a Diet Coke if you'd like.
I recommend Miller Lite.
Mm-hmm. If he says caravan, MS-13, NAFTA, or drugs, right now you
highly likely,
right? So that's just
small
a sip
on
just
those.
Small sips on those. Also, small sips. Every time he blames the Democrats. If he says Democrats, it's one thing, but you got to make a decision about whether he's blaming them again, because I don't want you to die of alcohol poisoning.
It's gonna be a rough 10 minutes.
Fake news, says the word fake news, small sip. This is a big one. When you hear him inhale through one nostril,
mm-hmm.
You know, you hear that thing when he does that?
Yep.
Ugh.
That's a full sip.
Okay.
Because he does
to tell
that.
You something that's, important.
Well, it's sort of like he wants to say something, and that's when he thinks he landed a punch, and then he does that sort of like a.
It's like a victory sniffle.
It's like a victory sniffle, yeah.
Soak it in.
Check in, Nancy. A complete morons.
Is there any cause for a shot or a big gulp?
Oh, we're going to have
we're
getting there. We're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Kim's ready to party. Yeah. I'm jumping the gun.
All right, you can also may take a you may take a large sip.
Cool.
Is a large sip a chug?
Yeah, like a full, like mouth, you know,
okay.
Mouthful.
Okay.
Like, again, because this is gonna, we want people to be able to arrive tomorrow to work and to be alive.
Absolutely.
You know, anybody hurt themselves?
Not endanger anyone in their family or themselves.
Right. Exactly. If he says the term "bad hombres."
We haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, that one might be
that might be up on the shelf.
He might bring it out, the big dogs.
Oh, yeah, it's a
good
one.
That should be a shot.
Listen, it's a crowd pleaser.
That's right. That works to his
You got to play your hits, right? Yeah. I mean, you go to concerts, you don't want to see him do a bunch of deep album cuts.
Right. I don't want to see a jam session.
To the good right. stuff.
Play Benny and the Jets, all right? Let's do it.
Stick to what you
know. mentions 4,000 terrorists. Because I think he's going to go there. He's going to double down. Even though everybody now has come out, even Kellyanne Conway's come out to clean that up and say there weren't 4,000 terrorists that came across the southern border.
Most of them come through.
Turns
airports.
Out there were 12, and everybody there were 4,000 that were questioned or rejected or taken into custody that were suspected. They're on a watch list. That's the 4,000 number.
Mm-hmm. And it's mostly through the airports, yeah, not the border,
right?
Yeah, but you can't have a caravan without 4,000.
Right, you need that.
A bad hombres.
Got him.
If he says the word beautiful in front of steel, wall, or America.
That's how about it. I need construction material?
100% going to say beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's got to be beautiful wall or beautiful steel.
Oh, just those two?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a full sip?
That's a full sip.
Okay.
That one's going to be dangerous.
Oh, now they have this under full sip. I'm going to move this back to a little sip.
Which
for
one?
This. Believe me. If he says believe me.
That one's going to come up for sure.
Believe me.
What about that walk thing you always call him out for, Ro, when he kind of walks off teleprompter after the sniffle?
He's sitting. He's going to be at the Oval Office behind the desk.
Can't happen.
If he gets up and walks away, drink the entire bottle, and then write out your final wishes, because that means all hell has broken loose.
That's a
real
problem.
He gets up and walks away from the desk. That's going to be bad.
Where'd you go?
All right. If you mentioned CNN, that's a big sip, because that'd be something. But CNN by name.
I think that's a gimme.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's gonna.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Now, big sip also. If he references his expertise in building. Now, this is, you could have an argument with the other people that you're playing the game with. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're already dead from alcohol poisoning. I just want to point this out.
It's only 10 minutes.
Right. But, I mean, you're just going to be drinking almost consistently during this 10 minutes.
And
right
there's
now.
No way he's sticking to 10 minutes.
No shot in hell. No shot.
I think it's written.
It's going to take him
long. Yeah, but doesn't he go out? He kind of just ad-libs.
Well, when he vamps, then
plus
that's the other
sitting,
part.
So he's going to be there longer, I feel like.
Right, that's true. I'm that winded.
Although I
cannot now feel my feet.
Cuts off circulation.
Okay, I hate sitting in this chair. Cuts off. I can't feel it. Are my feet asleep? Now, you must finish your drink if any of this happens.
Uh-oh.
You ready?
These are the biggies.
If he uses the following phrases. Taco Bell.
Oh, God.
Abraham Lincoln. Or Dirty Sanchez.
Okay, these are
never. Come
Dirty
on.
Sanchez might happen. Please. Because he might not get what it is, but he heard it once and he thought it was
oh,
funny.
Oh, he knows what it is. Okay. With the Russian hookers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
For sure.
Also, finish your drink and, again, put together your final notes if he declares a national crisis or mentions Kanye West or Kim Kardashian. There is your drinking game. For tonight.
What if he takes a drink?
He doesn't, though.
He's not a drinker, but what if he has a glass of water or something like that? Does that...
Did you see there was this Republican who spent some time on the campaign with them, but he didn't... He was not in the White House, who last week claimed that the president's doing rails of Adderall. He sniffs rails of Adderall throughout the day.
Maybe that's what that inhale is from. Yeah.
Relax. It's a coping mechanism.
Making sure he doesn't have a bloody nose.
Yeah.
I think he's also going to mention humanitarian, because I think he just learned that word, and I think he's going to be throwing that in with the crisis. So I'd like to add that to...
You'd like to... Humanitarian crisis?
Yeah.
Has he ever said the word humanitarian? Ever?
He tweeted it, I think. It was part of his tweet.
I think it's his new word. I think he's saying this as a...
People call me a great humanitarian.
Yeah, you heard. I like that. Throw that in there.
Hey, was ISIS in here? MS-13 was.
MS-13, yeah.
Okay.
This Adderall story is hilarious.
Yeah, it's a very funny story about the Adderall.
Hoovering up Adderall.
I mean, that's... I don't know if I... I don't know what I believe. I don't... You know, I don't really care. Is that the biggest problem we have right now? No. I don't care if the guys... I mean, it's like America already gave up on hoping that the guy... And I don't think we even cared about it, whether he's, you know, faithful or he's, you know. I kind of wish he were a drunk because it would explain stuff to me. The fact that he's proudly not and still acts like he is.
Well, didn't he say, imagine me if I did drink?
I know.
You're like,
he's
yeah,
so
yeah,
right.
No, no.
Right. I can
it's
imagine.
Good thing
yeah, no, no.
For
no.
everybody.
I know. I know what it would be like if he drank.
So who's in the room for this address? Is it just him and the camera?
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're too young to remember these things, but that's, you know, you sit at the desk, when the president yeah. sits at the desk and they have that's reserved for the biggest of things. Declaration of war, end of war, resigning your office. I mean, you think about the moments. It's Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. It's Nixon resigning. It's George W. H. W. Bush announcing the beginning of the Gulf War. I mean, that's what you reserve sitting at that desk for, those kinds of things. Playing a political game over what we're going to call something when we're going to give $5 billion anyway does not really rise to the level of sitting at that desk and having and you know demanding that all the networks jump in and do this at the same time.
But he's using the Situation Room for even having the meetings with, you know,
I know.
Different lawmakers.
It's,
so that,
everything is politics.
That tells you it's...
It's all show business.
Yeah.
It's because we've seen this in all the movies, right, with the Situation Room and all the rest of it, and we've seen these things, and so it's like, I'm going to bring them all in. In some ways, it's kind of, you know, a unique way of, like, sort of ripping off the piety, the fake sincerity and fake piety of politics in America, but I, you know what, I'm not ready for that.
Right, I want the Situation Room to be serious.
Right, I like when I watch a movie and I want the president to stop the asteroid from hitting Earth. That's I like that. Now, hey, guess what? Let's let it hit the Earth. It'll be really great for my property values. Get Kim Jong Un on the phone. I want to play a word game with him.
Have you heard of the word humanitarian? It's a great word.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I wish us all the best of luck. Tonight, well, hopefully we'll all be here tomorrow. It sounds like we could all be in the hospital by the end of the, by 8:10. All right. Let's check in now, find out what's happening. Kim, do you know what's happening at the top of the hour?
I do. It's me at 7 o'clock. Another case of Legionnaire's disease in Illinois.